This is PFW in progress.
Look awful. Those clothes. Those shoes. You smell.
Do you realize where I've been since yesterday? They beat me up and stole my clothes. Those men wanted to have sex with me.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. The Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed.
Paul Perillo.
Happy New Year!
Oh, that's kind of you, son. And a Happy New Year to you, too. Could I offer either of you two gentlemen a wee jolt of Irish whiskey to usher in the new year?
Beef jerky?
Son, thank you very much. No, it gives me the wind, something terrible.
Oh.
And Andy?
A jacuzzi, sir.
See, man, I knew y'all was man. You're a jacuzzi nobody.
It's a whirlpool bath, sir. I think you'll enjoy it.
Andy Hart.
Hey, bubbles, man. Say, man, when I was growing up, we wanted jacuzzi. We had to fart in the tub. This is bad.
Some guy named Tom.
Merry New Year!
Happy New Year. In this country, we say Happy New Year.
Ha 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 ha. Thank you for correcting my English, which stinks. Ha 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 ha. Keep checking time.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
Look, I'm 24 years old and from a small, miserable little mining town you probably never heard of. The only thing I got going for me in this whole big, wide world is this body, this face, and what I got up here. I don't do drugs. I've saved 42 grand and it's in T-bills, earning interest. I figure I got 3 more years on my back. I've enough to retire on.
PFW in progress.
Looking good, Billy Ray.
Feeling good, Lewis.
All right, welcome to PFW in progress. It's that time, noon time here at Gillette Stadium. And, of course, it's Wednesday, so that means another edition of PFW in progress will be here until 2 o'clock. The email address is webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. Phone number is 508-543-7482.
Send food.
The gang's all here, except for Eric the Leg. Where is he?
He's going to go to practice.
Getting ready to go.
He's our representative at practice.
He's at practice. And we, what do we get, the 15 minutes now?
Practice? Yes. 15, 20 to? Minutes, yeah.
One person for 15 minutes.
Only one person per affiliation, so.
All right.
The Leg is the person.
Well, Fred, Frank, Jake Steele's here, Andy, Tom, Paul, Gary in the booth.
We got a lot of new mics.
So,
no food.
Fred, Frank, and Jake Steele.
A big show, a lot to talk about, a lot of reaction to Scalavino.com, which we'll get to later in the show. but we had a lot of reviews of Scalavino.com and the movie. I guess it's called
the movie. It's the movie.
I've never been to the site, so I don't know.
Which can be found on Scalavino.com.
Yes. So I did read some frequently asked questions, however, that Tom forwarded to me.
We'll get to the reviews later, but we want to talk about Patriots, of course, first. And
that's going to get in the way.
Let's start with this preseason game on
spirited affair, Fred.
I said for game two of the preseason, I think it's about as close as you get to a regular season game in that first half as you're ever going to see.
Are you okay with that, since they hadn't hit at all?
No, I think that made up for it. I think any hitting that they didn't do during
so they're ready now. You come full. Okay.
They're ready. Changes.
You know what it reminded me of, Andy, and I know you were there. I don't remember what year it was, but we played Carolina in the preseason down there. I think it may have been 04, right after the year that the Patriots played in Carolina in the Super Bowl. So it was probably 04. And it was a very physical game. I remember Kevin Falk got absolutely lit up in that game. But both sides, really hard-fought game. Both teams played it very competitively. A lot of intensity. That's what that game in the first half reminded me of against Tennessee.
Same kind of thing. We had two teams that had played relatively recently with the Titans at the end of last regular season. Yep. So. Yeah, there was some banging out there, Fred, so you've got to be happy.
No matter what anyone says or doesn't say, these guys are human. You know, feelings linger. I'm sure there was some lingering
feelings.
But
I think that's one of the reasons, though, why Belichick's a good coach, because I think he knows when to let his players loose. Like you said, they're human. They can say to us what they want to say, but he knows differently. He knows how they feel about Harrison and what they feel went on there in that game. And so he lets them go a little bit, and I think that's a good move.
I think, you know,
not that the Titans were actually blitzing on every play, but they were definitely bringing different rushes on every play.
Mm-hmm.
The pressure was coming from all different places. And
so were the Patriots.
And, oh, no.
That's the one thing I wanted to ask you
guys. I think so. You know?
Before I worked here, like when I was just sitting on the couch watching games, I know Belichick's not Greg Williams or Buddy Ryan. He doesn't blitz on every play. But it seemed to me that the Patriots would blitz more than they have the 2 years I've been here. Now, I know the first year, let's be honest, their defense stunk. They had
right.
Dwayne Starks, Monty Beisel, and Chad Brown playing. But it seems like they were a little, even last year, kind of vanilla. Do you think they might be being ready to blitz more this year, trying to get more pressure on the quarterback?
I think with a guy like Thomas, you've got to look at different ways to use him.
I think they blitzed more maybe in your memory because maybe they didn't have the personnel and they needed to trick people and bring extra people and overwhelm them. Now I think they have more of a feeling with Richard Seymour and Adalys Thomas and Mike Vrabel, we can trick you in the sense that in the 3-4 you never know which four guys are coming.
Yeah, I think
but
that was
you don't need to be so
year.
Exotic and trickery.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like he talks about the Giants when he said he called the same defense every play
right.
because we were good enough.
They play cover two.
Right.
Base
yeah.
cover two every down.
So
I think last year that there was probably a lot of truth to that. And then you take your schedule into it and you look at it. What can happen? I mean, coaches never take anything for granted, but you have to look. You go into a game and you say, hey, we have an edge here. In talent, we have an edge in personnel, coaching, preparation. We think that we're probably going to be able to win this game. What would be some of the things that would have to happen to prevent us from winning? And maybe some of those are getting a little bit loose and sloppy with some exotic stuff
right.
defensively that opens up the door for some big plays.
Getting caught in a blitz.
And I think that when you're playing teams like the Houston Texans last year, for example, you don't want to put yourself in a spot like that. And I think Andy's right. I think that sometimes you think that you see something more often than you did. They probably blitzed similar amount of times. Now, 0-1, they blitzed constantly.
Right.
I think that was to cover up
they weren't that good.
For a lack of personnel. But to Tom's point, the 0-5 personnel wasn't great either, and I don't think they blitzed as much as they did back then. So I think it's probably a little bit of a balancing act. And I think that sometimes you think that they didn't blitz as much, but much like the contact that you've been talking about, Fred, in training camp, it's probably pretty similar every
yeah,
year.
And I think any coach will look at his personnel and do what he thinks
well,
they can
point
do best,
was gonna be what
depending
Paul
on the matchups.
Well, what Paul said is that you look at the schedule this year, and they're going to face four or five of what looks to be could be the 10 best passing teams in pro football.
You're not going
to
sit around and let Cincinnati and San Diego and some of those
right.
teams do whatever
right.
they want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're more balanced, so you might see a little tweak here or there, a little more exotic looks because they feel like they need to gain an edge on a certain play.
And you know what's funny, too? Now, obviously, I think we'd all call the Rodney Harrison play a blitz, regardless of how many guys went. I talked to Bill about it a little bit, and he said that it was – I can't believe you missed that one, Gary.
Needs a
red he said five. they only rushed four on that play. Now, you could say they only rushed four. It's still a blitz. I mean, it's a blitz of some sort. It's a zone blitz because if you're rushing four and one of them is the safety off the edge, then one of the guys that's up on the line is dropping back into coverage. So it's
not
at least
3-4.
Well,
all the linebackers stayed home.
But you know what I'm saying. I mean, someone up on the line didn't come. And it's at least a variation of a blitz. And it was definitely something out of the ordinary mm-hmm. to send a safety off the edge. But, you know, you're not going to be able to just sit back and let Carson Palmer, have his way with a secondary. I think Tom's point is a good one. The schedule may have as much to do with the whole, plan of attack as anything else.
And they might have the personnel again to really go.
Well,
I mean, when you have Thomas, you have Vrabel, you have if what we saw the other night is a glimpse of what regular season Harrison's going to be, then you have him. You have maybe some more weapons that are better suited to be aggressive.
Yeah, and like I said, any coach will take advantage of his personnel.
Right.
I mean, they're not going to do things that the personnel can't handle. And at the same time, if they can handle more, they'll have them do
mm-hmm.
more. You know, so that's what it comes down to. It's not a philosophy thing.
And you look at like a Thomas. You know, everybody says, well, his athleticism, he can help both in the pass rush and in coverage. I think that will help you too because, say you send a safety and you have a back matched up with Teddy Bruschi. I'll ask Tom, do you like that matchup?
No.
Thank you. And Bill's probably saying,
I mean, he
could run right by Teddy Bruschi, and it's a huge play. So maybe now with the athleticism in a variety of ways helping you, being more versatile, you can see more of that.
Overall, in this game, I think people were pleased with the defense. They think other than Brady's pick, I know they didn't give up a point in the first half when things were kind of serious. So
the defense was, I thought.
I think the defense
kind of
played
serious?
Pretty well. They contained Vince Young. I think they did a really good job. Offensively, I think the the biggest criticism I've heard is the offensive line, lack of communication and picking up, you know, where the pressure was coming from. But I, of course, tend to look at the bright side and said, despite all that pressure, they were able to look to Kevin Faulk and take advantage of the aggressiveness. And, you know, Kevin Faulk had, what, 89 yards passing in the first half?
Mm-hmm. Well, Brady keeps getting hit like that. He'll have more.
No,
of
I understand
game,
that.
Matt Castle's going to be dumping
the
ball
they went
to
the locker
Kevin
room.
Kevin Faulk
the,
may be playing quarterback.
They went to the locker room with a, you know, 17-7 lead, despite Brady getting knocked around, which you don't want to have happen.
No, but the lead is kind of irrelevant. I mean, it's a preseason game.
In the first half, I don't think it was.
See, I think that the defense was so good. That's why you have – I mean, look, this very well could unfold like this. I think if the defense comes together the way I think it can, you could see a lot of situations like that where they're going to dominate for long stretches of time and set the offense up. I don't think the offense
did – take the pressure off the offense.
I don't think the offense did 17 points worth of work in the first half. You seem to think that the screens were the reason why they got set. I think that they had a couple of well-executed screens. I think defensively was just so utterly dominant that that's why the offense was able
Brady
to score.
Brady made the nice play on third down.
It was a yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's Brady being Brady.
Well, but I
mean,
still think
that's
a
great individual play. It was a broken play.
Unlike the Titans,
the guy was covered like a blanket, and then he slipped out of the pocket, and then the guy for Tennessee slipped while he was trying to make up for the adjustment. Great play by Brady.
Yeah, but that was a great offensive
but it's not like
game,
the defense
really?
Set them up on the Titans' half of the field.
They did.
Patriots still had a drive.
They had short fields.
They had the fumble. They had the long kickoff return. 38-yard kickoff return and a fumble.
Yeah, but they still start on their side of the field.
Not on the fumble. They
well,
had
the fumble, the one fumble. But
and the other one was like the 40.
Yeah, I mean, the other one was
– Well, I think it was
a 50-something-yard drive.
I think with all the pressure and the communication problems that the offensive line was having, they still managed to have –
So you're just
points.
Glossing
but
over
But they
didn't that.
Move the ball very well, Fred.
And, Fred, here's the problem I have. I think you're seeing –
They got 17
I think
points.
You're seeing what's going to happen if Maroney isn't healthy because the Titans didn't care about the run one
and
bit.
And that's the other thing. They did it without Maroney, without Moss.
But that's not – we're talking about the game that we saw.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. The game that we saw,
He's
the Patriots were able
–
Against
argue.
A bad defense, by the way, in the preseason. If we're going to start counting stuff and taking it, like, for real, that's a bad defense.
I think without all his weapons – with the pressure that they were having, with the problems the offensive line was having, they still managed to score 17 points.
All right, I think
that's pretty good.
I think the defense played excellent, and I think the offense was average. That was my assessment of the
game. I'm not sitting
I don't
here.
Think it was terrible.
I'm not nearly as concerned about the offense as a lot of other people who wrote about it.
That's all I'm saying.
No, I'm not either.
But I'm not going to sit there
about the game.
I'm not going to sit there and trumpet that 17 points the offense scored because I don't think they played that well. They didn't play a game that would be worthy of a 34-point outing, in my opinion.
And
the defense played that well that they allowed the offense to score. The defense, to me, there aren't enough accolades. They gave up 99 yards in the first half, 66 of which came on two plays, one of which was a broken play that was a sack for all intents and purposes. Mm-hmm. For all intensive purposes, as Indy would say.
Yeah. I don't look at it as the score. I think you look at it on all the little matchups and the little things, and if you look at those, the offensive line, they had runaway rushers. But even that, I kind of look at
better
in some
way.
Ways as a positive. Matt Light wasn't getting his butt whooped. Nobody got their butt. They just weren't on the same page. Ryan O'Callaghan admitted he screwed up once. I think that's coachable. You know, Dante says, "What the hell are you guys doing?
When's it going to show up?" Because
well, they haven't had
for 2 years.
No, they haven't had runaway rushers for 2 years. That's communication.
I've been seeing Brady getting killed for two
Brady's
years.
Yes, he's
Brady
been getting
gets,
killed.
Brady
they haven't had runaway rushers. They have like one a year.
Sacks, you know, guys not open. Part, having
yeah, I agree
ball
with that. He holds the ball longer because they had no one getting open. You had Rishay Caldwell trying to beat somebody off the line, and he's not capable.
I think this offensive line is as overrated a group as there is.
See, I don't think it's really all that rated. I think individually people talk about Mankins and Neal.
The national writers, they're always talking about this as one of the best lines in the league.
Well, yeah, Scout Tank had it as number six in the league.
Well,
I don't think
it's overrated.
I don't think they've played to that.
It's overrated.
A little continuity.
To me, the O-line is Matt Light.
They're
pretty good. They're middle of the pack.
High draft pick. You've got Kazier, who was a relatively high draft pick. You got Copen now, who's a veteran and is solid. So they look at those guys and they see some stability, they see some high draft picks, they see some, you know, continuity, and
what
do these writers know? That's all they look at, and they say, oh, they must be pretty good.
But I think locally it's been covered
better.
What it is. I think most local writers, whether it's the Globe, they've said, now's the time for them to be – they've invested money in draft picks. They need to start to be a good line.
They have a 1, a 2, a 3, and a 5.
I haven't seen anybody locally say that the offensive line is this great strength of the team.
Well,
they expect that it needs to be.
I think it's probably – Well, I understand what Tom's point is here, too, because it has now that it's finally a group that's been together a little bit. Four of them have been together now. This is going on 3 years, mm-hmm. And I think people were expecting it to be instead of that lunch pail group that kind of unheralded
the Joe Andrews
got it done. They're expecting it to take another step, right. And I do think there's been some writing about that, not just nationally but locally. And I don't think it's been consistent. There have been times that, I thought during the playoffs last year, the offensive line was outstanding. Mm-hmm. You didn't see any real consistent pressure on the quarterback. You go back to a couple of games, obviously the Miami game was the low point in Miami last year. But I kind of agree with Andy on Thursday night or Friday night, whatever the game was. I would be more concerned if you just saw one guy locking up on another and just flat out getting beat. They were screwing up their assignments for whatever reason.
Well,
now that's not good.
Guy, kind of whoever he was going,
but it's
up
also.
They kept confusing him, and it's not good that they were getting confused. I'm not trying to say, oh, it's great. We have communication issues, but I think that's something that can be fixed. If you're not winning a one-on-one battle, that can't be fixed.
Right.
And I also just think.
What's the matter, Andy? What?
I think he
likes Dante.
I was going to say,
That's not it. Because I think he is a good. I just think the offensive lineman screws up, it's sort of like when a corner is in one-on-one coverage and screws up. They score a touchdown. They hit your quarterback. It's if Teddy Bruschi or Rodney Harrison.
You're talking about one game worth. I'm talking about.
I don't think you've watched the games then, because runaway rushers have been limited to absolute minimum for this team.
But they have runaway rushers. I'm talking about
when a guy goes unblocked, he runs away.
That never happens. That almost never happens to the Patriots. But they have been under a lot of pressure. I thought the last 2 years. I think.
We've all talked about Brady.
I think Brady has been under a ridiculous pounding. But don't you think it's been more so the last 2 years than like the previous 2 years?
Yeah.
I think that's all Tom's point is.
That's fine.
It's not necessarily as to why it's happening, And I agree with you. You never see runaway rushes. You never see a guy come like the first play of the game where Van der Bosch comes looping up the middle, untouched, clean shot.
And by the way,
you never see that.
You shouldn't in the NFL, really.
I see a lot of Patriots do it.
Yeah.
But you never see it happen to the Patriots.
A lot of things against the Patriots. I don't understand how they happen.
Well, I understand your point about the game being the stunts and everything. I'm just saying this year, I'm expecting to see this line play better than it has.
I am too. And if they play like they did the other night, this team A isn't going to be good. B, Brady's not going to be on the field long. Neither is Lawrence Maroney, and they deserve to be criticized. And I think that's from top to bottom. I think it's Dante Scarnecchia coaching them, but I also think it's Scott Pioli and Bill Belichick for saying these guys are our offensive linemen. Well, Matt Light, we're giving him money. Dan Copen, we're giving him money.
You can certainly over the last couple of years make the case of either. Brady didn't have the weapons at wide receiver or a consistent running attack.
Right.
Now all the peripheral tools are there. So if it doesn't perform, there's only really one place to look.
But even beyond that, I think they need to be a strength. They've invested in them. It's like the defensive line.
Right.
They did the same thing. They said, these are our guys. We're re-signing them. I think you now have to be able to say we can line up 14 out of 16 weeks, an offensive line, we check that box off as a strength or an advantage.
This is the most talent. I mean, you want to offensive line, the back, the receivers, the quarterback, top to bottom, this is the most talent the Patriots have had on offense during this run.
Except for maybe tight end, but that's,
Right.
I think when Watson and Graham were both here.
But I'm just saying,
as a collective whole,
all of those
units,
they may have had a better tight end, but the offensive line wasn't as good and the receivers weren't as good.
Right.
With Graham and Watson. Now with just Watson.
And they're clicking. You see the 17 points they put up?
Well, I think this is going to be a pretty good offense. I just think
it's not
a good test this week, though.
I think it takes a little bit more time for an offense to come together at this time of year. I think it's natural to see the defense playing better. It's almost like the pitching and hitting in baseball.
And we've seen this story
before. I think it's going to be a pretty good offense.
You know how this plays out this week. The offensive line will absolutely stonewall the front. A better front, and they're absolutely going to stonewall them. We've seen this play out so many times in the past.
Everybody's talking about it, and they take offense to it.
No question. I expect Brady to be clean as can be.
In the locker room after the game.
Right.
All right, let's talk about who's playing, who's not playing. What kind of injury updates do we have? Who's returned to the field? Who's now left?
Maroney.
Maroney's back.
Maroney's back and ready to run.
He'll be playing Friday.
Are
we playing Friday? Why can I not remember when the game's
playing Friday this
Friday
week, Thursday,
you should be there.
I will be there.
You still work here?
I will be there.
All right, good.
Despite the fact that Mike Vrabel didn't know if I still worked here and other people in the organization.
Is it essential for Maroney to get these carries in this game?
Yes.
Is this essential?
Yeah.
Yes.
You want to get a few touches. Well, now that he's healthy.
Might want to read Ask PFW from last week, Tom Caselli.
I just love that.
Well, I don't think he has to. I think if you're giving me a choice, the question was, does he have to?
All right, Fred. Referring to the point counterpoint in PFW where he said that Maroney doesn't need
to. He dove on a grenade.
Tom has really learned well from Fred, though. Well, the question was, you don't even have to listen to the rest. Well, really, what the question said was.
I don't know if necessarily for him, but for the offense, to see how, like we were talking, you said, Fred, well, didn't have this, didn't have that. Now it should have everything other than Moss, so just to get an idea how it's going to look against a pretty good team.
And I think for him, too, he didn't finish well last year. He was a shell of himself from the beginning of the year. You want him to get that confidence back, even if it's 8-10 carries against a pretty good defense, and he goes, you know what, I can do this. I'm the guy. I'm fine.
It made me kind of feel good because a lot of the observations we had of him last year were vindicated by his own comments this year about him having to really, you know, pick a hole and just hit it and be confident that the hole. Because we said toward the end there that it just seems like he's tippy toeing. He's not hitting the line.
I think he was hurt, though.
Well, I think it might have been.
I think he was avoiding contact.
But he's saying it this year that I really just need to pick a hole and go and not, you know, look around so much. He said that this year. So, you know, again, another reason why I think it's good to get him some carries in this game to just let him start doing that.
And the offensive line, too. Just getting used to how quickly. Yeah. He's there. How quickly he flashes by. How long you have to stay on the linebacker. How long you have to get in his way.
How long it takes for him to appear.
Right. It's a new back, a new set of skills, a new spark that I don't think Corey Dillon had at the line of scrimmage. And I just think, while I don't think it's absolutely 100% necessary, it's clearly better for the offense to have him get some reps.
And they may even, you know, the scheme isn't necessarily going to change, but, you know, Bill has talked about calling maybe some different plays. Mm-hmm. More often than they had in the past. And they're not going to be anything different about it. Like the whole zone blocking thing, I think, has been a little bit overdone. The Patriots generally use zone blocking, but it might change a little bit. The plays that they're going to lean on with Maroney back there, I think it might be beneficial for the offensive line to get a read on that.
And this, Paul mentioned when they went back down to Carolina the last time and played, I think this is going to be the same type of game because John Fox is one of those coaches who likes to win in the any gambler will tell you they're a dream. And last week they kind of ran into a buzzsaw with McNabb coming back in Philly, and I saw that game, and it was almost like he said, we know what we're in for here, and he kind of pulled back his players a little bit. I think you're going to see Carolina all out this week, and I think the Patriots will be all out, and I think you could see
one of
the games.
There's a very good chance the Patriots could be 0-4 in the preseason. Not that
matter.
That matters.
I'm just talking about like watching the game unfold.
But these don't matter?
Yeah, if they had gotten the opposite of the game last week and were thoroughly dominated in the first half, and then I'd be a lot more concerned.
Yeah.
You know, in my mind, they pretty much won the game last week.
Even though
the school board says at the end that they lost.
Right. Yes, I agree.
Stunning that Fred would agree with me on that.
That's my whole point.
But I thought when the frontline guys were in the game, the Patriots were in control of it.
Okay. Danny Bauer, or Bauer. Seems
Bauer.
To have won the punting job unless Malone, they give this game to him and let him go out. But I think it's...
That's not the unless. The unless is if they sign a veteran or something. Yeah. There's no way Tom Malone is...
So Bauer gets the punting job, but what about Steven Gostkowski? Should we be concerned?
I'm not. Bill used my fears today.
What did he say?
Having a good camp. I'm just kidding.
Bill, you've been watching?
I'm not concerned yet, but I think one more game.
But when he misses a game-winning field goal,
no,
I'll say,
like, if we go to Carolina and he misses another one or because he didn't have a great camp, and then you go into the preseason and he misses that short one. Some things are starting to pile up, but we'll see how it goes. I mean, he played well last year, so you got to give him the benefit of the doubt.
I mean, it's a real mental thing. We know he can do it, but, you know.
Plus, he's still a young kicker. I mean,
yeah,
it's not to the point where you say, okay, he's Steven Gostkowski, he's a good kicker. He's a young kicker developing, getting used to everything.
Okay. Any other observations from Friday night's game before we...
the backups on defense aren't very good. I mean, the Titans went through them like they weren't even on the field.
You know what I'll say about that? That's concerning is, you know, all the fears that we had, like, in April when we were talking about the draft. You know, where are the young guys? You know, where's the future linebackers? Well, this is two games in a row. The other team has run the ball right down the Patriots' throat in the second half.
That's true.
So that tells me that the front seven for those young guys isn't really, you know, there's not really that much there.
But to be fair, too, some of the backups were starters, were with the first group, right? I mean, you had
Well,
with,
like
with
Lee,
because
like
Warren
Lee
and Seymour are out, you're already down to
like Lee Kevin Smith would be an example.
And
of that.
You're down to third string when it's
yeah, you're getting
string.
A little lower on the depth chart when it's
but,
you're
but
advanced.
How much lower? I mean, you have Seau Brusky.
They don't have any linebackers.
And Adalys Thomas. Even, well, that's what I'm talking about.
Well,
I mean,
you know,
we have
Pierre Woods.
Oscar Lua and Corey Mays.
Well, none of those guys played well for us.
That's the
and
next. That's
saying.
The next tier.
Yeah. Right, but the only guy
now,
in
maybe
that
Eric
group
Alexander.
Is Pierre Woods.
Maybe
Eric
Alexander, and he wasn't playing.
We know they have nothing inside.
He's also back, ready to play. He'll probably play this week too, Fred. We should probably mention that because he lost the red shirt, too.
Yeah, I don't know if this means a job for him, but Justin Rogers had a couple more plays.
Yeah, he's active when he's out
there. Very active. He seems he filled a hole very nicely.
He played a lot later this week.
Played the edge
with
very
Pierre
well.
Woods back. I was a little bummed
but that
out about
doesn't mean
that.
He can't make
no.
the team.
And he also was still on special teams, so I'm still holding out hope for my little binky.
So that's
Justin Rogers.
That's good.
I don't know why. I don't know why I took a shine to him off the go.
It is a little weird.
He's done
little
things.
Awkward.
He's taken an opportunity.
Kind of like me and Q.
I was going to say, it's nothing like you and Quentin Smith. I wouldn't want to be weird or anything, Tom.
Your guys actually played.
It seems this week, James Sanders has gotten a lot of good press.
No more than he's gotten here for a year now.
Seems like
we were PFW way ahead of that curve, Fred.
Andy, Paul, and Tom have declared early in training camp that James Sanders will be playing safety this year, regardless of the health of Harrison and Wilson. Not necessarily instead of them, but with them in some sort of rotation.
That said, well, I was still
was
stunned when Bill said
and when,
it.
When Bill actually said it, we all looked at each other and said, "Whoa, we're never right." So
rare.
My question was, do you think that he could, you know, take over the starting role from Eugene Wilson?
No.
I thought Wilson looked pretty good
Wilson
Friday
played
night.
Pretty good Friday.
And I don't think they're similar in styles
yeah,
and roles.
Kinds.
So
yeah, I think that
I think it's
Sanders
three guys
style,
for two spots.
Sanders' style is definitely more conducive to Roddy.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
He's more of a
he's
like,
waiting to take that spot.
Well, and that's
yes.
good.
Good tackler.
If you're a Patriot fan, that's encouraging because Rodney's not going to be
the
opposite,
older guy.
Right?
He's the guy you want.
Linebacker.
That's what you want.
When we were saying, well, where's the linebackers are going to step up? Here you go. You have a guy sitting right there waiting to take
they
over.
They do have some young secondary guys that I think maybe you know, Sanders is obviously far more advanced than the others. But like, I think Willie Andrews might be a guy that could be knocking on the door for something like that. Rashad Baker is a guy who flashed a little bit. I don't know about his long. He's not as young as those guys either. He was around the league for a couple of years.
Merriweather, they have a lot more young talent.
Yeah. Obviously, you have your first-round pick. So I think they're a little bit better in terms of the youth in the secondary than they are in the other areas of the team.
How do you guys think Merriweather's look so far?
Just okay.
Yeah.
But I don't expect him to look very good because he's playing a lot of corner. And
yeah.
You know what I mean? That's a pretty big transition. I think people just assume, oh, he'll be fine. He's talented, versatile, and athletic.
I thought he flat out
didn't the NFL.
In the first game.
And
right.
I didn't notice him as much in the Tennessee game.
He missed
game.
A couple tackles against Tennessee.
There was one play in particular Tom pointed out that I remember.
Those are the physical things. In the first game, he was just miles away from receivers, looked a little lost at times.
On the flip side of that, Randall Gay.
Whew, playing phenomenal.
Top-notch tackler. Excellent.
At what point with Merriweather, I know that they want to see what he can do at corner because I know they probably believe he can play safety. Let's get him as much corner experience, see how good he can be there. At what point do you say this guy's a safety?
I don't know.
Oh, not yet.
I think we've been saying about Thomas. I think Thomas is an inside linebacker, and I think Merriweather's a corner. That's the way
I'm starting
to
think
me.
That, but I'm still going down the ship. It's a waste to have Thomas inside.
Yeah, and I think that the Merriweather thing, Fred, will probably be dictated by if and when they need help at an area.
And I think they're much deeper at safety right now than corner, so that's probably why they got him taking some reps there.
Plus, he's played safety. I mean, I know it's a jump from Miami, but he's been in that part of the field, that comfort level, looking at seeing the field. It's going to be an easier transition to go back to that than to try to throw him in at corner in week three.
You'd rather throw him in at safety in week eight than say, now you're playing corner.
Right.
And if Samuel comes back, then maybe that might be the impetus to say, okay, let's work on him as being the Eugene safety, because I think he's a little bit smaller, even though he's got a more physical reputation. Wilson's a pretty physical guy, too, for a smaller corner. I think he's more in line for that free, you know, the free side. I know they don't call it free and strong. But
can we dispel the common SPFW that James Sanders is too small to play safety?
Oh,
like
God,
we get a lot of questions with size worries me.
Guy.
I know he is thick. Is
remember
stout.
That story I wrote when
he's off.
I mean, he's
Gary could have had a wham, wham, wham.
That was the original one that we worried about you, if I'm not mistaken.
But he's a solid big guy.
I mean, he's a little shorter than Rodney, I think.
Yeah, but how big is Rodney?
Right. That's what I'm saying.
When I first saw Rodney Harrison in the locker room, I just thought to myself, man, these guys must be great football players because you look at some of them and you think they're a lot bigger than they really are. I mean, Brusky looks like
Brusky's flat out small.
Yeah, he looks like a safety.
Paul, what do you got?
Sanders is 5'10", 210.
Yeah, he's fine.
So, you know, I don't think that's – I mean, that's not ideal, but I don't think
I mean,
that's
if you're looking for
small.
A blue chipper and he's 6'1", 225, okay.
Yeah, I mean, he's not
okay.
LeRon Landry and Sean Taylor. I mean,
he's not – who's that guy I like from Virginia Tech?
Oh, Rouse?
Rouse. He's got all that. He just can't play.
All right. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll get to your emails here in PFW in progress.
Revolution fans, log on to the New England Revolution's official website, revolutionsoccer.net. You'll get all the news, features, and information you need to follow your favorite soccer team. Can't make it to the game? Tune in and listen to the radio broadcast or check out In the Net, the Revolution's internet radio talk show. For game previews and recaps, player bios, community events, and much more, revolutionsoccer.net is the best way to follow the Revs year-round. revolutionsoccer.net. The New England Patriots set a franchise record for fewest points allowed during the 2007 season. Another big play. Celebrate this historic milestone with a limited edition Goal Line Guardian poster exclusively from the New England Patriots, free. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by two members of that record-setting defense, Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren? Take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer by making qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots extra points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots extra points card and free Goal Line Guardians poster autographed by Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren.
Roosevelt Colvin, wow!
Patriots extra points, because fans want contact, too. Autograph poster limited to the first 200 with qualifying purchases. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com. When you've got a lineman size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Okay, back here in PFW in progress. Fred, Andy, Tom, Paul, Gary in the booth. Eric's out of practice. What time will he be back? You know?
I don't know.
Well, how long is practice for?
I think
15-20 minutes, but I don't know what time his window opened.
Oh, you don't know when it opened?
I think the show was flowing pretty well without him. I think he's bringing us down.
Oh, I think,
you
know.
Want me to just take his role?
I think you know, everyone brings a little bit of their own.
In the locker room.
Yeah, I agree with Tom. Sure.
Thing
yeah.
to the show.
And
so,
I went
you
over
know.
And,
yeah, and he brings us down.
That's
his role.
Just, you know, Tom, I don't know why. I mean, I punted.
Are we
know,
all?
I averaged 70 yards at Boston okay. University.
All right. Okay. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. It's webradio@patriots.com. Andy, is your mic on?
No, because I'm chewing.
Okay. Now it is. All right. Anything
I
else?
I try to shut it off when I'm chewing, coughing, sneezing, any of those things that might be annoying
any
to listeners.
Any other news this week? Artrell Hawkins got
just
released.
Not when he's
any
dropping F-bombs.
Any surprise on that?
Yes. A little bit of a surprise, I thought.
Yeah.
I think it'll come back to burn him.
I think it was a courtesy. I think that...
they don't do courtesy.
I think he
here.
Might
oh,
be
that's,
back.
That's a lot of baloney,
it was
Tom.
A,
they
it,
sure do.
It probably had as much to do with that as anything, but, you know, Andy seems to think it was a really bad move that... They're going to regret not having him.
That's until I realized I think he's going to be back.
Well, I think he's only back if no one wants him.
Well, he kind of said he'd like to be back, and Bill said, you never know, he might be back.
Yeah, but if someone expresses any interest in him, don't you think he signs?
Right. If someone makes him a great offer, yeah.
A great
I'm talking
offer,
about any offer.
He seems to like it. Well, I think he's a little banged up, first of all. And we've seen that happen with other guys who want to be released or don't want to go on IR, wants
that
I think
might
there's
be
a
the,
chance he could come back.
That might be the biggest thing is that he's going to be. He's
and anything
banged
I'm
up to
saying right now is alleged.
No, he might be banged up. Well,
he wouldn't pass the another team's physical.
The part about him and the part about Bill is not alleged. They both said that on the record.
No, but I just want to make sure I cover my butt in case I'm saying anything that could get the team in trouble.
No, but I do think that I do think there's a possibility that he was banged up and to the point where he would have to miss, say, the first 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and they just said, you know what, we're going to let you go, and then you're not going to be part of the 53 anyway.
But you will be in October.
But if we need you later, we will.
I mean, they got Vinny to practice all spring without a contract, and where is he going to have a better deal? He could win here. He does all access and those voiceover gigs, and, I mean, he seems to like it here, so I think this could be a move of convenience, yes.
Now, the other thing, too, is Hawkins is a smart guy, and I think he knows that he fits in well with in this defense, and I don't know if he'd fit in well with a lot of other defenses because he didn't have a great career until now, and he's done pretty well here for his age, and I think he knows that, and is one of those guys, if I go off to San Francisco, I might just be a scrub. Here I can actually play and contribute.
I don't think we've seen the last of him.
Okay.
Alleged.
All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address. Let's get to a couple here. Josh, he sent me one last week, but I'll get to some stuff, the important stuff. He says he's going to Vegas on Friday
for a
friend's bachelor party. Can Tom tell me why the best sports book is from his past life to hang out in for the day until the rest of my crew gets there? I think any of them.
He already went, but, I mean, the MGM Grand is considered the king now with the other ones being destroyed.
They're all pretty good.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, you go to any one of those big casinos if you want to gamble and just set up shop for the day.
Yeah. And he says he just looked at Scalavino.com, the movie, and I have no comment. I do have an observation, though. Dude has a big nose. I wondered why his voice was so nasally. Now I know.
So he's no longer the toe or the leg. He's the nose.
Well, I'm the nose. I mean,
that's true. We do have a lot of big noses on here.
We have a lot of people that went to the website.
Big head, too. That'll be you.
Thanks.
Well, your nose matches your head.
Right.
I mean, they're both equally
big. Big ears, big nose, big head.
You know.
Eric's got a little pea head and a big nose.
let's see. Marco from Yorba Linda, California.
Hello. Hello. Oh, yeah. I'm the winner.
Marco.
The subject says the movie. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, wait, you're serious? Then let me laugh louder. if you can get those rates for your art on a regular basis, then why are you working for PFW?
Conscious choice.
Because he can't get those rates for his art on a regular basis. That's what he's asking for. That's like me saying that, someone wants me on the radio. $2,000 an hour. I can ask that. I won't get it. That's what Eric's doing.
Gary, I bet you Tom knew that line. Conscious choice? Say anything you saw saying.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yep.
Andy, no.
We're talking to Paul's again.
Is Eric coming down? We should wait for the bashing when he's here. The Scalabino bashing.
That's our style, right up front.
That's all right. We'll do it,
But I want to do it now and then.
I want to see his reaction, though, because he gets so mad. It's funny.
No, it's all a joke. If you shut up for a minute, I'll explain.
I don't know why you think he gets mad.
John in L.A., last week we were talking about swag, stuff we all get. And he says that may mean stuff we all get in some circles, but here in L.A., where it may have all started, what with all the swag-laden Hollywood events, the conventional wisdom holds that the acronym stands for Stolen Without a Gun. So, I don't know. Awesome blog, Casali Rocks, my best to the various new fathers and husbands in regards to the pretend kicker. Welcome aboard, Bernishki.
Bernishka.
Bernishka. Ralf Bernishka?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Mike says...
This show is so high on the unintentional comedy scale.
Mike gives us an excerpt from Scalavino.com. Quote, for this very reason, art enthusiasts commission Scalavino because they say he has a sublime gift for making their loved ones come alive.
Who is
they?
They
were going to come right out of the frame and talk to us. So then Mike says, how did practice hero Scalavino get this job? Paint me a unicorn, you silly fairy. Sorry, Eric, but you never should have broadcast this mess to an NFL-based audience. The people have spoken, and Eric the Lake Scalavino wears panties. Just messing with you. The show is great and keeps getting better. Please tell me how someone gets into your industry.
Luck.
Lord only knows.
Yeah, you email Fred.
Catch Fred in the right moment.
In a time of desperation.
Yeah, catch Fred when two of his guys might be leaving.
And while I'm excited about my future.
All right.
Should we defend Eric a little bit? I don't really think he put it out there for everybody.
Yes, he does. He wears those stupid hats that say Scalavino.com. He wears them out to training camp.
We're the ones that brought it to the show. And people on
That's okay. He wore the hats.
Yeah, we did.
They saw it. Mrs. B saw it and went to it.
Yeah, if you're advertising on a hat.
It's on the back of his head.
Well, I didn't say I had any.
You never know. One of these people might actually want
it. You know, his logo on the front.
He has a logo. I didn't say I felt bad for him or anything. I'm just saying he's not the one who broadcasted it over the radio. We did.
No, but he broadcasts it throughout his everyday life with those stupid hats.
That's because you're missing the target audience, Andy. Isn't the target audience.
Check him out.
I'm not sure what the target audience is.
I remember that. Remember that website fiasco? The DaveDudek.com fiasco?
You can check him out on DaveDudek.com.
Every once in a while you hear me cackling in the background.
Let's get to a Patriots-related email. Ravi in Indy says, great work so far in the offseason. The new Ty Warren contract is pretty big. We didn't talk about that.
Oh, we also didn't talk about the update in today's newspaper. That it's a 5-year extension.
Yeah, what do you think about that, Paul?
What is it?
It's not. It's
it starts through 2008 and it goes through 2013.
2013. That was
who wrote that?
According to the Boston Globe.
Chris Gaspar.
I'm just going to keep my lip buttoned and stay out of trouble here.
Okay.
Because that would definitely run contradictory to something I was told yesterday.
Right. So, but there's two stories out there, which may be the way they want it.
You might be right.
You know.
Because people realized, hey, isn't that why you didn't re-sign Deion Branch?
No, we were wondering, if this is a change in philosophy about, ripping up a contract.
When if that's the case, Fred, then absolutely, that's very consistent.
Right. So, because initially the reports were that the contract replaced the final 2 years. Now there's a report in the Boston Globe today, Chris Gaspar, saying that it is, in fact, an extension that goes through 2013. So, we don't know. We just don't know.
Well, it's possible that the person I talked to was wrong.
Very possible.
Okay. All right. Well,
you have no idea who I talked to because you were off being a radio star yesterday.
You have two major sources.
The bottom line is that they wrapped up Ty Warren.
I don't care for either.
So now,
no.
Will Fort.
It's neither one of them then because I know for a fact you like him.
So it's good news that they did get Warren tied up.
Right. I see what you did there.
Yeah. Okay. Tied up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, no, I mean, you can't rip it on any level. There's nothing.
I didn't care for it.
In my opinion, this move is so good. Not even worth weighing pros and cons.
Right. I think that's how it was handled by everyone.
It wasn't an overly lucrative deal, so you didn't overpay.
He wanted to be here.
He's a good, solid player.
I love you. You love me.
Works hard. Not one of these guys you would figure the money is going to affect his work ethic.
And he said, I got money. What do I need? I got a house. I got a family. I got a food.
Outstanding move.
Well, Ravi says the new Warren contract is pretty big, and Seymour's is even bigger. Does this mean the Pats have made a decision on who they're keeping on the D-line? Warren will certainly be here for the long term. Do you envision Wilfork or Seymour leaving after their contracts expire in 2009? Seems unlikely that they would all get mega deals on the Pats. Personally, I think Seymour will be gone, but Wilfork and Warren will stay, and they'll bring in someone in draft this year with two picks and a draft deep in lineman. What do you think? Keep up the stellar work.
That's a possibility.
That's what I think.
Well, I think they might draft a D lineman.
Seymour would be the odd guy out because of age at that point. He will not be in line.
And he'll still want money.
He won't be in line to get it here.
The assumption there is you can sign whoever you want. Not sure Vince Wilfork just wants to say, okay, you're offering $18 million, I'll take the $18
million. I'm not sure Wilfork takes the Warren deal.
Right. I don't think he will because I think he's a guy that would be interested to see what he's worth.
He's biding his time.
He's talked about it yesterday. He's worked on his pass rush this offseason so he can be an option if he needs to.
Wilfork talked yesterday? I missed that? Yeah. Shoot. I wanted to talk to him. I missed him. Sorry.
Paul bringing the show to a
screen. Of consciousness, sorry.
But think if he hit the open market, how much the Jets would give him to play the middle of their defense. With more teams playing that 3-4, his value goes up. I just think it makes sense for kind of a specialized guy to go out there and see what he can get, because I think teams would gladly overpay for a nose tackle of that caliber.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, we're talking about his versatility. Is there any fear that the large amount of weight that he appears to have lost this offseason could affect his play negatively? I mean, nose tackles, we joke about, they're big fat guys that take up the middle of the field.
It's certainly a possibility, but I don't think that he's lost weight to the point where suddenly he's, you know, undersized in any way.
No, I don't think
position.
He is either, but
he's still
he was a certain, he had certain success at what he was.
Yeah.
And now he, I mean, it looks like he's lost a foot off the front of his stomach.
You know what? I did see him walk through the locker room yesterday, now that I remember, because I remember we commented on that.
I said he lost in Eric Scalavino.
Yeah. and how, remember, like, he had his practice pants on, which obviously football pants are skin tight. They were like baggy in the back.
And he now wears a shirt. It used to be the shirt would go out over the belly and then just hang like a big curtain around the front. Now it just sort of hangs like a normal shirt. He's lost a significant amount of weight.
Well,
and I'm just wondering
what he eats and all that stuff.
Just wondering if that could adversely affect him at the position.
I think it's possible, but yeah, I think that probably the
you're right. He's down from like 375 to 325 or
in
whatever.
In my opinion, chances are he's still so big that he's going to maintain his strength inside, and the weight loss is going to help his mobility. It has to.
Well, it'll certainly help, I would think, his mobility and his speed, but I'm just wondering about his sort of stoutness, big fat guy
that's
take up bodies in the middle.
That's obviously the danger, but I think that he's still so big. It's not like he went from, you know, 330 to 290,
right,
and now you wonder, well, Jesus, you know, are you sacrificing some strength, you know, for mobility, whereas...
Pluggability.
You know, at 325, he's still got to be 325, don't you think?
Yeah, that's what it says on the roster.
I know, but don't you think he still has to be every bit that?
Yeah, I would think.
So, I mean, I think that's still pretty big for a nose tackle.
Buzz in Gilbert, Arizona. Great show. Keeps me going at work in all these non-eventful months since the season ended. Here's my question. With all the new weapons, do you think the offense will be less predictable than last year? Some defenses made it look like they knew what the Pats were going to do even before the ball was snapped. And then we had Brady, who at times was simply throwing off target. I thought most of it was due to not planting his back foot firmly before the release. Did the Pats get a QB coach this year?
Maybe they ought to hire this guy.
Pats have had a QB coach. Josh McDaniels is the quarterback's coach. He was the quarterback coach last year, too.
Yeah,
that might be what he's alluding to. The offensive coordinator.
Well, if it was something as simple as just planting your back foot, they would have taken care of that in week two. You know what I mean? Like, so they look at film, and they would have simply said, you're not planting your back foot. And well, you know what I mean? Like, it just can't be that simple when you're a player of his caliber and you
have
a coaching
staff. They never fixed Bledsoe.
Fred, stop.
Because it wasn't as simple as his back foot.
That was my point. I didn't want to say it. I didn't want
to,
you know.
It didn't have a lot to do with mechanics anyway. When you continue to make the same wrong read, you know, 13 straight years, it has nothing to do with mechanics anyway.
You were horrible.
The whole thing, look, guys change, you know, within a game. What was the guy's name, the quarterback? Tom Martinez,
yes.
Right? The quarterback guru that Brady has gone to ever since he was in high school. He was quoted in one, I think, the Boston Herald last week talking about how bad Tom's mechanics were in the playoffs. And that's why you saw so many underthrown balls directly into the ground. Because when he gets off, he overstrides, I think is the way he put it. Did you read that story, Andy?
Is this the one where he said the announcers are full of
poop? No, that was the little box in there. But
one of
the things he talks
about. The emailer's right. Maybe it is simple stuff they don't see.
But he fixes it within game. I mean, it's stuff that, you know, he understands what he's doing at this point in time. And I'm sure the coaches, like Tom said, you know, when you see something that's easy, like, you know, he's throwing off his back foot or he's not planting his back foot or he's overstriding, those are easy things to point out. But it's not easy to just say, okay, I'm not going to do that anymore.
Right.
You think about it and you do it, but then when you're out in a game, sometimes it comes and goes. That even happens. These guys, they're not robots. That even happens to the best of them. And obviously Brady's success is, you know, as high
as it is. You also don't want him thinking about his back foot to the point where it's affecting the 77 other things he's doing when he gets the snap.
He actually mentioned the San Diego game in particular. He said was about as bad as Tom has ever played, with the exception of the last drive of the first half and late in the fourth quarter.
Don't you think some of that has to do with you go through the season, the playoffs, it's a different animal. You're playing the best teams in football. You got barely a running game. You have receivers who are now fighting for roster spots this year. Maybe when you got into that second season, all the question marks we were bringing up throughout the year finally caught up with you.
They start to get exposed.
Right, when you're playing the best of the best.
Right.
But is that an issue?
You think he was a little gun-shy in the pocket?
Gun-shy.
I didn't really see that. Did you?
Not necessarily gun shy, but hearing footsteps a little bit, and that affected his technique?
I didn't think so.
No? Okay.
I've never really
Because, you know, when you're going
one.
Against Sean Merriman and all those guys, you know,
well,
you got to
Merriman
think
actually
that.
Has to get off the
I
line
I was
going
to say, Merriman would have
first.
Had to have gotten in the backfield once
no,
for another,
he,
to have heard
he,
footsteps.
He did eventually, but, you know, there was that threat, you know.
I don't think so. I think that Brady, you know, you always like to make fun of my guy. I think Brady is very much like Bledsoe was the first 4, 5, 6 years of his career where he just – He stands there oblivious to the rush, and he's not leaving.
Uh-oh.
And then finally.
We going down that road?
Because
he's certainly been pounded for the last
that,
2 years.
That caught up to Drew, and he became a different guy after a while. And, yes, he was gun-shy after a point, but I haven't seen it with Brady.
Is the are you concerned, Fred, or quarterback coaching? Would you like to see a quarterback coach other than the offensive coordinator who is also young and developing? And...
Yeah, I don't know. I've heard different – You know, arguments for and against a quarterback coach. That well, some people you know say who, you got to have it, and other people say eh, it's not really.
But you know, who
but
does
he's
make,
talking about they have one.
I know they have.
Do you want a different?
Divvy it up.
A different
no,
one.
I don't think so at this point. I don't. You know,
because they've had it both ways. Because Weiss was the offensive coordinator and quarterbacks right. coach for a while. I mean, that was out of necessity.
Right.
When Rabine died, then they had Huffnagel,
right.
who was just a quarterbacks Huff. Coach. Huff. I'm sorry. And
he's available,
know,
right?
Now you're back to well,
Giants. Got rid of him.
I don't know.
They took the play calling away, right?
I couldn't tell you. Yeah. Now you're back to offensive coordinator / quarterbacks
right.
coach. I mean, I'm not going to pretend to know how, you know.
You
I would think
believe-
in an ideal world you have two. You have an offensive coordinator and you have a quarterback.
Well, you got to believe, though, well, at this point Brady's his own coach.
Well, no, I don't want, but I don't want that. I'd like somebody
but, yeah.
to point something out and kick him in the butt
but
if he
Ron
needs it.
Ron Jaworski always brings up a good point, I think. They have a coach for every little thing you could possibly imagine, yet some teams don't have a quarterback coach for the
right.
most important position.
Right.
But the Patriots don't have all those coaches for every
right.
little
right.
position. And I don't know what's right and what's wrong. I don't know what the better way would be to do it.
But I do agree with Andy. If you're going to I would feel better having a coach
right.
for that position, just someone that he could talk to. And
well,
seems like
isn't
that's
that
what
Will McDonough.
Oh.
All right, let's.
I thought you were going to go Vinny Testaverde there, which I think would have been more appropriate.
Susan, just one side. Did anyone watch the Monday night game, the Bears game?
Rex Grossman midseason form.
Well, Rex Grossman couldn't possibly be any worse if they asked him to. And Jaworski, one of the things he needs to do, he can't be a quarterback apologist all year because he was telling us how good Rex is. And
oh,
all
and Kornheiser
this.
Called him on. He goes,
yeah.
He like fumbled the snap on one of the next plays and goes, oh, does he look good there?
So we'll have to watch that because it was if a guy's playing that bad. Just,
he was terrible.
He was.
That was one of those little stretches he gets in that go for a while, and he can't hold the ball, he can't throw the ball, he can't do anything.
And we said
how did
last
he go 9 for 11?
I don't know.
He was bad, though.
He was as bad as you could possibly be.
And the two guys we said we were going to look at this year, Grossman and Romo, it would be interesting to see how that. I mean, Romo has looked pretty good so far in the preseason. Grossman, the first time I saw him, he's fumbling and stumbling. So.
Well, I've heard that Grossman, even in practice, continues to just be terrible at times. Like,
it's
there's times where
the
he comes back to the sideline and the coaches are like, what the hell are you doing? So
it'll be interesting.
I think he's just about at the end of the road.
Mentally shot?
I don't know, but there. I mean, maybe
yeah.
he can go elsewhere. But I think as the Bears starting quarterback, he's just about at the end of the road.
Okay. Let's see. Will from Ontario has gone to Scalavino.com and he quotes, using these digital images as a guide, the artist then paints his subject's stunning likenesses in exquisite detail. And Bill says, isn't this called tracing?
Yes. you got it, Bill.
I only kid. I love the radio show. And don't stop making fun of the new guy. It's certainly more entertaining than watching Jamie Dukes point a football at me and yell incoherently, why is he always holding a football anyways? Yeah. My TiVo,
and sweating.
My TiVo just can't wait until Put Up Your Dukes starts September 4th.
Oh, yeah. Me either.
He's getting his own show?
Oh, Put Up Your Dukes, yeah.
Oh.
Can you imagine that?
I would say it won't last long, but on that network, I'm sure it'll last forever because
they need
something.
Programming. They don't have anything.
But he is his Scalavino.com thing is correct. Yes, that's what it is. It's called
yes.
tracing. It's like remember in the old
third grade?
I don't know if he'll remember this, but in
the
old TV guides where they used to have like the turtle and they had three images and you could draw it and then send it in for art. Do you remember
right,
that?
Yeah,
oh,
right,
the
right.
art institute or it was like a test
they had, like,
or something.
A pirate, a yeah. turtle, and then you could just trace it and send
yep,
it in. That's
right.
the Eric Scalavino method right there.
No matter what you did, they said, "Oh, you
yeah.
you could be a real artist. Just pay us $5,000, and we'll give you a certificate."
Fred, I, as an aside, I succumbed. I got the NFL Network.
Oh, I thought you said you filled in one of those turtle things.
No. I don't even know what you guys are talking about.
So you
about.
Got the NFL Network.
I did.
How, what'd you have to do to get that?
Well, it's just like
a pack
1-800 Comcast.
What's the tier, Tom? Do you know what the name of it is?
The sports tier
there?
Yeah,
I don't know. There's
a
lot of different.
They've gave it a funky name, sports tier.
I didn't know you didn't have it.
Well, I had it, and then they put it on a different tier that you had to pay extra for.
I lost it,
and then I just figured, well, there's going to be games on the regular season. I probably should have it.
Yeah. You can write it off, you know, on your taxes.
I will.
Let's see another.
I wasn't happy about it, though, because I think the station stinks.
Well, it's fledgling. It still needs to get more content.
Watch Dion do the highlights. You'll be all right.
I've watched Dion do the highlights. I don't enjoy it nearly as much as you do.
It's good stuff.
Let's see. Steve
he's
from
barely
Ontario.
Coherent.
Steve from Ontario also writes in. He's been to the website. He says, I just want to say that Eric deserves props for calling the Miller release. I couldn't believe it when I was reading in it this week that he actually.
When did he call that?
To my mind, that brings instant credibility. However, with Kickergate, Eric's
no one
now
really does listen to me, do they?
Career, there is a huge black mark on his record, along with his apparently lengthy and extravagant vacations. Also, to my surprise, I really enjoyed his column in the August 8th PFW on Randall Gay and Tori James. A good article through and through. I haven't had a chance to tear into this week's edition, so I'm not sure if he threw the budding respect he's generating away with terrible columns there. But with that said, welcome to PFW, Eric, and sorry for misspelling your name throughout this email. I didn't realize it was with a K until the end, and it's just not worth my time to fix it. So, Eric getting some props.
It wasn't a column, by the way.
No, it's not a column.
That may be a black mark against his writing if it felt like a column you were reading.
Most people don't know.
Yeah, he might just
column,
be calling
article,
it a column.
Article, story, whatever. Average fan doesn't really distinguish between the two.
Who's this guy, Scalavito? He's making fun of the fans?
Average fan. They're idiots.
No, I'm saying it doesn't really matter to them. They just read it and they're entertained or not.
No, what did he say at the beginning of that email? What did he say at the beginning of that email?
He called the Josh Miller release.
Oh, yeah, the Josh. I remember he said he thought Bogger was going to win the job, but I don't remember.
Well, that's good.
Yeah,
that's,
he got
it. It's coming out there.
That.
Yeah.
Well,
of course, I've been saying that for 6 months now.
And in the preview, the training camp preview of PFW, Andy insisted that we had Josh Miller listed as one of the veterans looking over his shoulder.
So much so that Paul wrote, Andy insists that we have Josh Miller here.
Did I write that?
As soon as Andy talk to Josh Miller, and when Andy talks to people, God only knows what's going to happen. They either retire or get cut or who knows.
Well, we end up on double secret probation.
But as soon as he talked to Josh Miller, he gave him that comment about there being 31 other teams. Andy said, I think they're trying to well, he predicted it.
Right.
Let's just put it that way.
Well said, Tom.
Well, I don't want to get in too far here,
They're going to try to break him, and they broke him.
R.J. Gibbs writes in, as far as the Pats being ready to hit and be hit by the regular season, I think Rodney Harrison gave me a little bit more confidence. Seems like he might have gotten his revenge a little bit. That hit he brought me to my feet. And what do you guys think of Jeff Fisher, after he and Belichick did the pseudo-handshake postgame, said to Teddy Bruschi? He searched him out and talked to him for a couple of minutes. Did anyone see that?
No, we were down in the line.
Yeah, we were in the locker room. I knew of that, but I don't know what he said, and I haven't seen anybody quote that. And because I know Bruschi had a big media powwow on Monday, I think.
He didn't say anything.
And I don't think anybody asked him.
My guess
it,
is he probably, Fisher probably cleared up the, he
right.
probably said, I don't know if you thought, but I wasn't winking or, they probably cleared up whatever the problem was between
right.
it. He wanted to clear it up. Bruschi did
right.
not mention it at all, and I didn't know about it, and obviously no one asked him about it because,
right.
Louis writes in, I read in the Pats Titan recap that Kevin Falk had 6 receptions. With a renewed receiving core drawing attention, should we expect more passes to the running back, swing passes, screens, stuff like that?
I think Falk should catch 150 passes a year. He's never been covered. He's always open. I've never seen anything like it. I really haven't. I think he's underutilized in this offense because I've never seen anybody cover Kevin Falk. It's absolutely amazing.
I think if these receivers are healthy, then I don't think you want to see the ball going to Kevin Falk.
Well, I think it'll be similar. I think it'll just be more productive because there could be more room for him to work.
Got a 3rd and 8.
I just think
all of a sudden, the safety's downfield with Randy Moss and Falk breaks through on one of his things, and it's a 30-yard gain instead of a 15-yard.
So let's just say, for argument's sake, now I don't put any stock in the first 2 preseason games
They scored 17 points
moving forward. But what I'm, but if this was, you know, the regular season and they're having this amount of trouble getting the ball to the wide receivers, would you be concerned about that?
Yes.
See, I would be too. I don't care how many yards Kevin Falk would have.
I don't think that'll happen.
No, I don't either. That's why I said I don't put. That's why I prefaced it by saying I don't put any stock in what's happened so far. But I mean, I think they only have like three catches for wide receivers. That's not a lot.
Okay, we're going to get to some more emails. It's 1 o'clock here at Gillette Stadium. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Revolution fans, log on to the New England Revolution's official website, revolutionsoccer.net. You'll get all the news, features, and information you need to follow your favorite soccer team. Can't make it to the game? Tune in and listen to the radio broadcast or check out In the Net, the Revolution's internet radio talk show. For game previews and recaps, player bios, community events, and much more, revolutionsoccer.net is the best way to follow the Revs year-round. revolutionsoccer.net. The New England Patriots set a franchise record for fewest points allowed during the 2007 season.
The rush got to be sacked. Another big play.
Celebrate this historic milestone with a limited edition Goal Line Guardian poster exclusively from the New England Patriots, free. And if you think that's good, how about having it signed by two members of that record-setting defense, Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren?
Got to be sacked for the safety.
Take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer by making qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points, redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points card and free Goal Line Guardians poster autographed by Roosevelt Colvin and Ty Warren.
Roosevelt Colvin, wow!
Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact, too. Autographed poster limited to the first 200 with qualifying purchases. See details at Patriots Extra Points.
When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. We promised we'd be back, and I kept to that promise. We're all here. Fred, Andy, Tom, Paul.
No Gary. Child left behind, says Fred Kirsch.
Right.
I promised we'd be back,
and we are.
Damn it, we're
here
back.
We are. Eric's not back yet, though. He's probably out. Maybe he could be.
He's probably crying himself to sleep in his giant pillow.
He could be auditioning. That's you never know. They might have had him come out and do a couple punts.
Or maybe he sold a painting.
You know
what? I did see him talking to Bogger for a long time today, so he probably was saying to himself, this was the track I was on. I could be Danny Bogger. I'm going to let the coaches know, and this could be the big day. He could be the veteran that you said, Andy.
You know, we were talking about Patriots.
There's going to be a veteran come in.
PFW stuff. Maybe we should commission Eric to do a portrait of all of us that we could sell.
No, thanks.
Because everyone's asking for T-shirts and hats. And
yeah, but who's got $7,500 to...
Or you just could pay me. I'll get tracing paper and trace a photo.
Or I'll take a picture of you with my phone, my new phone. I'll just take a picture of you and email it to you. How about that?
All right.
I want no part of any of it.
Alex writes in, hello, Fred, Paul, Andy, Eric, and Tom. One quick question to Fred.
Eric's moved past you on the list.
Any idea how you will split the daily shows during the season? Please don't leave anyone alone. No shot at Paul intended. Personally, I'd like to hear Tom and Paul on Tuesday. Andy is also good, even though he is a poor man's Tom Casale. Well, I don't make the schedule. Paul has made the schedule. Tuesday through Thursday, it will be Paul alone.
It'll never be anybody alone. We can guarantee you that.
And I don't think we've done that as a kind of, no one.
It was
ever,
once
like,
it was for one, an hour.
No, it happened just totally
like
by accident.
You were going to the combine.
Right.
Yeah. It happened totally by accident. Believe me, it wasn't my most enjoyable 2 hours either.
And Paul, it's even less likely now with Eric. We have an extra guy.
Paul has made the schedule. If you don't like it, take it up with Paul. I didn't make the schedule.
Fred already has a problem with it, by the way. The first day he's down, he can't do.
Well, no, we do split it up, though. It'll be always at least two people. On Thursdays at 1, we'll all be together to do our picks.
And are we think, still doing the entertainment purposes?
Yeah
for okay. entertainment purposes. And then on Friday, it's Tom and I usually, but these guys come down.
And I think
while.
As often as
Just
we Felder can.
Will be here, yeah. and it's a fun day.
As often as we can, as many of us will be here
yeah.
as possible.
Yeah.
Except when Andy does PFW because it takes him 12 hours to do
that's
Ask
why,
PFW.
That's why, Tom, I included Ask PFW on the schedule this year so I wouldn't have Andy down on a week that he was to do Ask PFW.
No shot back, Andy? You're just going to
No, because it's true.
It?
Yeah. What's he get?
Touche.
to football, this is still Alex. During the last couple of seasons, the Bills have posted some of the best special teams units in the league. Since 20% of the PFW
so they got that going for them.
Special teams experience, I'd like to get that. Since 20% of PFW have special teams experience, I'd like to ask if the success of special teams play comes from coaching or is it just good instincts by the players?
You know what I think it is in Buffalo's case? They get more work at it than everybody else. They're always punting and they're always receiving kicks.
I think it's coaching. I think there's a lot of success there can be gained through coaching. Putting a lot of emphasis on it, spending practice time.
Well,
it's not a coincidence.
Right there. It's the emphasis. I think some teams emphasize it more than others.
But you see that at the college level. There's teams like Virginia Tech. They, you know, they focus on it and they have success at it. I think if you really dedicate, you can do it.
You got a guy like Mike Martz saying, you know, maybe I should spend more time thinking about special teams. Whoa. You know, that's...
Well, I think Andy hit it on the head. They're at Virginia Tech. Beamer coaches it himself because he puts such a high, he holds it in such high regard that he wants to coach it himself.
Right.
But I think one of the problems in the NFL, and I don't know if this is true, but it seems like there's been a couple special teams coaches that are been around for a while. But don't you kind of move pretty quickly from a special teams coach? Do you kind of move up the ladder a little bit?
Unless you're Joe Avizino or the guy
sucks,
from the Miami that went to the Jets.
But that's
I don't know, because some of them, I know that, Scotty O'Brien guy didn't like being pigeonholed as a special teams coach. And I know Brad Seeley doesn't really cringe at it, but I think he's talked about the fact that you can't become a head coach and, you know, you're kind of, sometimes
That's
can get stuck there. I think some guys don't want to get stuck as special teams coach because they think it's the end of their career.
It's a dead end. Yeah.
So that might be part of it. But I do. I think if you focus some talent there and some coaching there, you can succeed.
Remember that guy from the Cowboys, Avizino?
Yes, Joe Avizino.
Why do you keep bringing him up?
Well,
because he just wants to keep saying the name wrong and see how long it takes him to get Tom to explode.
When the Cowboys were on TV, he would get more FaceTime than the head coach.
That's because Dave Campo was the coach.
They were always showing him on the sideline.
He was a yeller. He had to yell all the time, and that doesn't work.
And then they made him coach the other team, didn't they?
The Desperados.
Right,
he was terrible. He sucks. All you have to do is go back and watch that Hard Knocks when the Cowboys were there and look at the people that he wanted to keep, and now tell me where those people are today. Well, actually, that whole team is out of the league, but you get my point.
That was from 1980.
That whole team is out of the league.
Justin in Alaska says, hello to the pessimist, the optimist, the leg, the nightlight, and Captain Sirius. Questions. One.
Wait, who are those people?
We know who the leg is.
We know who the optimist
is. The nightlight is Tom.
You're the optimist.
I'm the optimist. You're the pessimist. And Paul is Captain Sirius because he doesn't cheer at the game.
Because I don't cheer at the game.
Right.
I thought he meant Sirius Radio, so I thought he was Captain Sirius. But obviously that would not leave anyone to be the optimist. And he's the only candidate
for that. I'm the only optimist
on this
squad.
They did score 17 points.
One, I see our regular season backfield is Maroney, Morris, Evans, and Faulk. Do you see anyone else or in place
or
of
horsemen?
The listed backs? I think that's pretty much it, right?
Mm-hmm. Q?
You're really starting to irritate me with this.
Wait till I'm right.
Two, we'll
build... Oh, wait, I got to tell you a story, a quick story.
All right.
And I'm not saying this to promote anything. When I was on the radio yesterday,
bah,
a Dolphins fan called and was like, I can't believe you New England fans yelling about backfield Maroney can't even be – you don't have a backup running back
what
anymore.
What station were you on?
With Brian Morey.
Oh, so it was Miami Bill or whatever?
No, it was Dolphin Donnie.
Dolphin Don.
But – and I go, okay, hotshot, who's Ronnie Brown's backup? And he goes, I think it's some guy, Cobbs. I laughed out loud for five – I said, you're latching your wagon to Patrick Cobbs, the guy who was a training camp cast off here? That's an absolute joke.
That's not true.
I didn't think so either.
Booker and Miner.
Who's Booker?
Lorenzo Booker.
Oh, yeah,
They don't have Minor anymore, do they?
Oh, he's not there? I thought I saw... No, it's not Minor. It's the other guy that they got. Minor's gone. They have another guy they picked up. So they do have two guys who are... Cobb would be at least...
Booker?
Yeah.
That's tremendous.
That's
a good sign.
He's the best playmaker on that team right now. He's better than Ted Ginn.
He's a young Kevin Falk.
Ted can't get out of his own way.
The point was is they have at least four backs probably on the roster ahead of Cobb. So this guy's calling
this guy's
up you,
not
yelling
that big
at you.
A fan.
He doesn't even
but
know
the fact that he brought up Patrick Cobb, I was thinking this guy must send in SPFWs.
Was that the guy that also thought there was a chance that Ricky Williams could come back?
Oh, yeah.
Same guy? Yeah.
Idiot.
No chance.
Two says, Justin, will Bill carry six receivers? If he does, I see Moss, Stallworth, Caldwell, Welker, Washington, and Gaffney, Brown on PUP. My other question is, does Bam have any role on the team?
No.
You don't think Childress gets on?
Nah, I don't think Caldwell gets on either.
I'll give a shout-out to the message boards folks on Pats fans because I was trolling around yesterday, and I saw someone wrote something along the lines of, who knows who really has in – I don't know any of the names on there, so who knows who really does have inside sources, but someone suggested that, according to his inside source, Troy Brown was not going to be on the 53-man roster – and they were going to try to keep a spot open for Bam. So I don't know if there's any truth to that. I don't know who is, like I said, I don't know who is who with the exception of one guy who emails our show all the time.
I could see him. Maybe. If that's the case, if Troy is not, I just.
God, I hope
he's going to be the return guy.
Will he
be the return? Is that going to be
I don't
Troy?
Know. He didn't. There was no further speculation. But Ken and Canton, who emails our show all the time, he's the only one on that message board who I know which guy is which. So. It wasn't him that wrote this. I don't know if there's any validity to it, but I just thought I'd mention it.
Now, I know that in order to be on PUP at this point, you had to be on PUP before camp opened.
Right. You can't have suffered an injury and then go on PUP.
Is there a list, though, other than IR that a guy can go on at this point?
No.
Yeah, released.
So that's it. So Moss couldn't remain?
No.
Okay. He'd have to be on the 53-man roster.
Or they'd have to release
him. But maybe Hobbs.
Or IR him.
Yeah, you don't want to do
Maroney's
that.
Maroney's not returning
kicks. And then
you'll
lose him for the season.
Do we agree on that? Maroney's not returning
I don't think either
kicks.
Of them are.
I don't think there's any chance. I don't think any chance that Maroney does.
But I don't think they want him to. So maybe Bam earned the spot by being the kickoff returner.
Specialist like that?
Yeah.
Or it could just
but
be.
But he can play receiver too, but I'm saying mainly as the.
Yeah.
Because as we said before, Bill's one of those guys who puts an emphasis on special
and
teams.
And Caldwell does not play special teams.
Caldwell's
but he has, I mean. I don't think Caldwell's going to make the team.
I don't either.
That was my guy from the beginning. My quote unquote surprise cut.
I don't think it's all that big of a.
Well, he could be out too.
Now Washington's.
We're not keeping any receivers here.
Caldwell.
Bam Childress is in, and Caldwell and
Washington
are out.
If you're going to do that, someone's got to go. I don't think.
Well,
Childress
it's the Troy Brown is the spot. I think we all assume Troy Brown was going to hold a roster spot.
If you're bringing in Childress, you got to get another one out. You got to bring.
No, he's replacing Troy Brown for the first 6 weeks.
What about Chad Jackson? Maybe he's ready to go.
Right, but Moss.
I don't think we'll see him. Bill kind of said it on the radio the other day.
Moss, Stallworth, Welker. We would all kind of think. If we say Gaffney is over Caldwell, then you got Childress and,
Washington.
And whoever else you want to go with. I don't know. I mean, you're saying Brown and Washington are gone? And then Childress is on?
The scenario that you brought up, or whoever brought up, is Troy Brown on PUP. So you have a rock. Because I think we all put Troy Brown.
I didn't even say that. I just said instead of Troy Brown, they're looking for a spot for Childress. I don't know if that's true or not.
Because I think we all. I assume Troy Brown, if he came back, was one of the four locks. Because I didn't think he'd be back if he wasn't.
That's the way I looked at it.
So
the only
if he's on PUP, then I just slide Bam Childress into that role because to me they're similar. Troy Brown's a lot more talented and a lot more has a greater resume, but Bam Childress can return for you, can be the extra this, the extra that, and do whatever. He's the team guy.
And
I also think you get the benefit as Bill Belichick of kind of pumping him up there and showing, see, we had all these stars in camp, but if you worked hard, you're on my roster.
Knowing Belichick and the staff that he's got, they've probably looked at the stats and said the chances of starting the season and ending it with the same six receivers are minimal. So the chances are someone's going to get hurt, and you'll just pull Brown off PUP.
I think Caldwell's the odd man out. I think he's done here.
Yeah.
Paul and I were talking yesterday up in the office. I don't want to hear what he caught last year. You give me any average receiver in the league and give me Tom Brady, he's catching 60 passes. That's simple.
In that role.
Yeah, in that role.
I mean, he was basically, cast as a number one when I don't think he was.
You go to Philadelphia, give me one of their
scrubs.
Someone's
going to catch 60
balls.
The passes.
Three says, Justin, it's good to get Gay back and healthy, but as long as we don't trade for the defensive back Faggins from the Raider, I believe, we'll be okay. I don't want the Pats to have Gay and Faggins in the same backfield. Too many potential issues with that. Little sophomore humor by Justin and Alaska.
And I enjoyed every second of it.
And you fall right into it.
Is it me, or does Bill seem a little jovial and more affable with the press conferences and interviews lately?
This week, maybe, I agree.
Maybe he's getting a little something at home now. Crap.
I didn't understand it either. I don't know what it is.
Are you just going to ignore anything that comes over the emails?
I don't care.
What did he say? What did I miss?
Maybe he's getting something at home. Have you guys, aside from a quiet elevator ride, noticed this? Finally, a friend of mine told me there is no college fantasy football. I said, you and my friend have not listened to Eric Scalaveno. He plays fantasy college football all the time.
And there is, actually, if you can believe it.
Oh, God. I can only imagine.
Do you think Bill is more?
I think he's been happy
this
week.
He's in a great mood.
He's been playing along with all the questions, smiling, all kinds of stuff.
He had a good week.
Yeah. I don't know why. I certainly am not jumping to any conclusions like the emailer did and Fred read on the air.
That's all in fun. We have
I'm sure Bill takes it all that way.
Right up until the time we hit the unemployment line. Then we're knocking on Felge's door to see if we can get any work.
Web radio would be
I thought we'd be in line with Felge. Yeah.
Speaking of Felge, Felge's here. How you doing, Mike?
Hi, boys.
Are you here for a reason?
No. No? I'm not. And don't let me interrupt. Just go ahead.
Okay.
Just carry on.
You're really not here for a reason? You're not doing interviews?
No, yeah, we're doing...
I'm giving you a window to plug
thank
Patriots
you. We're
Friday,
starting,
you idiot.
Starting Patriots Friday. On Wednesday, and so at 2 o'clock, the guys are going to come on through, and we'll start doing interviews.
Okay,
but you guys will be off the air by then.
You'll
right?
be off the air, but
yes. But
listen to Patriots Friday on Friday.
There you go, 890 ESPN.
Yep,
and I like sitting in with you boys.
No, we like having you too.
I get Paul Prillo unplugged.
We
I
don't
to
see
find
you
out.
Anymore. You don't cover the team anymore.
So see, that's not accurate. It's just not in the form that I used to cover it.
We have one little column.
What
a week.
Being here, talking to players, talking to coaches, watching games,
right. Yeah. Exactly. Visiting with Bill and
that forms it in now.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, you should promote your entire package of Patriots Friday programming. You got Andy Hart and Tom Cazzelli, well, otherwise known as Hans and Franz.
Hans and
I think
Franz
he's trying
on
to gain listeners, Paul.
Oh,
they're
big days Mondays, but they'll join me on Fridays as well.
Oh, that's
looking
true.
Forward to it. Another
that's
year.
True. You guys are on the back burner on Fridays, evidently.
Well, they do have, you know, players.
You're
right,
going to do
exactly.
Mondays with him?
Yes.
Yep.
Has that been approved by the boss?
Apparently.
Apparently or apparently not. Approved. I don't know what
that
means.
That's the approval process right there, Fred. I'm doing Mondays at Felge.
Oh, that's great.
The cackle
good
of
luck,
approval.
Guys. Good
why?
Luck.
What are you laughing at?
What are you
at?
So giddy about over
well,
there?
Well, after we spent all night working here.
Oh, yeah. That, our one day
oh,
off.
Oh, yeah. That's the down
Boston,
part of it.
Fred, remember when we had that show?
You don't pay us enough.
Remember we used to do that show on Monday nights on The Zone? It was
oh,
like
my God.
Three zombies coming into work.
Oh, up in the club.
Oh, that was awful. Yeah.
So who are your guests this year?
Ben Watson, Mike Vrabel, Troy Brown, Matt Light.
That's good.
Not bad. Like, could be worse.
You didn't have Vrabel last year.
We did not.
Oh, so that's good.
That's yeah. a good get.
He doesn't like you, right?
Mike?
what's that now?
This could be good.
Yeah, I mean, who does? I mean,
true.
Grades of, you know. Yeah, he probably feels the same way as everybody else. I'm surprised Matt Light came back. He got pretty annoyed with the whole thing by the end of it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a thankless job, being a left tackle, I mean.
Right,
and
right.
when you have a bad year
I
like
you meant
he
being
did.
A talk show host.
You, well, mean a, you mean a Pro Bowl bad year?
Right, well, I mean, he played one good month.
Wow.
I will say he was excellent in the playoffs.
Excellent.
Outstanding.
Excellent.
Especially in San Diego.
So what's the mood of the fan? Do you guys get on Randy Moss at all? Or does anyone
get on him?
Yeah, does no one care?
No, well, no.
Get on him for what?
The fans love him.
I think while he was out there, he did great, and people are saying, good, let's keep him out. We know what he can do.
You really don't like him, do you?
Well, let me just say, I mean, he's not my kind of player. I've never liked him, right? I mean, I haven't. But
right, I'm just wondering, like, what's the...
This just occurred to me.
Are you looking for something, or...
No, that has nothing to do with it.
On the famed Lambeau Field goalpost.
He had the audacity.
He besmirched the Lambeau Field aura. No, I was just saying about this as I was headed over to Omega Pizza. Why do we all get
plug there? They didn't send any food. Why are we saying their name?
No, but if anyone wants to start buying us from Omega,
that's
fine.
A switch up from Papa Gino's to
I'll
Omega
even
would be welcome.
Number if we have to.
We all assume he's really hurt, not dogging it, and this is just unfortunate, bad timing. Why does he get the benefit of the doubt?
I don't understand what you're asking me.
Who is not practicing that you're not giving the benefit of the doubt to that they're actually
Randy
injured?
Moss, before he signed here, guys, how did we describe him? What did we think of him? D O G dog. The guy is a dog, Tom. You have to admit
misunderstood.
That.
Misunderstood.
Yes, but I don't
dog.
Understand why you think he's dogging this injury. Like, what's the...
He made it through 5 days of practice. He pulled up in the middle of 2-a-days. And he hasn't worked with Brady since, hasn't practiced since, and we're all like, huh, must be hurt.
Paul, what are you doing over there?
It was the sixth day.
He's right. August
You're
1st.
Nodding
I'm
in
like
agreement.
You, Mike. We were no, there I said when it was
the
right.
Well, that's the thing. I think it's a great caper if he, planted in the middle of the practice on a bomb. He somehow got the script and goes, oh, they're going to, I'm going to pull up on this one.
If you're suggesting I'm nodding along with his little conspiracy theory, then no. I was counting the days to see how many days.
I'm not saying he's the best dog in the world if he claims an injury in the middle of
there's no way he is not injured right now.
Okay. If he's not faking it, then he didn't come in fully tuned up and in shape as he should have.
Or he's a 30-year-old receiver with leg problems.
Yeah.
Or there's that.
I think that's the – out of all your arguments, Felger, I think
that's the best
one.
One that's the one you should focus on.
He's the 30-year-old
You know what you should focus on, Mike? Art Schell. Art Schell's extensive quotes in that Ron Borges story, the brief return of Ron Borges, where he said –
that was one and done.
Yeah, and it was a good story, too. And it wasn't even a Borges hatchet job. It was a good, balanced story. But one of the fears was this guy's legs are shot, and that's what Art Schell. And I think you could say what you want about his head coaching ability. I think he's a pretty respected NFL guy who's been around the league for a lot of years. I didn't just dismiss that because Art Schell had said it. That meant something to me. And before you know it, as you said, Mike, 5 days into camp or 6 days into camp, he's out with a leg problem. So I have some concerns with that.
All right.
Yeah, I don't think he's
dogging it, though. Okay. I don't think that's fair.
That piece, I don't hear that in Patriot Nation. That's
still, why people don't like you, Mike.
Randy Moss is scoring 4 million touchdowns.
Well, he was so good. He was just so good in those practices. Right. I mean, I think people are looking at that.
Now, don't read that commentary.
He was head and shoulders.
Yeah, I just read Tom wrote. He's in the Pro Bowl. The guaranteed.
Well, I mean, Tom, you tell me. A football player, a receiver who comes to camp and has a hammy problem day five, does that tell you guys not in shape or out of tune? Or is there any excuse for that?
I mean, it's a hamstring.
We see these baseball
hamstrings all the time.
Especially receivers.
But you shouldn't. Week one? And was he really digging it that hard? I mean, was he going full? Was he running a 4.240 at the time? Or he was just
he was way ahead of the coverage.
He was stretching out for a ball.
I won't be a monsterologist, but I will say the way he practices, he is so fluid. It makes everything look so easy. It's kind of hard to tell because he doesn't really run hard. He just takes those long
strides.
Sort of
my point.
He doesn't run hard. He just happens to be three steps behind the defensive back.
Well, he's the fastest guy out there. There's no doubt in that.
Well, there you go.
But he's a DOG dog. He's a dog.
He's not in shape because he
I think he dogged it in Oakland.
6 months ago, a year ago, we're having this discussion. If Randy Moss is on any other team and he's out for training camp, you know what we're all saying? Dog. You see what? That's Randy Moss.
I like
can't even
players.
Make it through day five of practice.
No.
He's a dog.
No,
I have a dilemma. Here, I have a dilemma with this guy because everything in my head tells me I shouldn't like him, and this had nothing to do with as a Patriot. Everything told me exactly what Mike is saying, but for whatever reason, I've always kind of liked this guy. I've always been just so wowed with his ability that I've overlooked some of the things that probably for a lesser player I wouldn't overlook.
The kid, he's done some immature things. There's no doubt about it, but I think he showed.
I don't care about the immaturity. I don't care about running over the traffic.
Well, that's what it's all about.
I could give a rat's ass. That's not what it's all about. It's about showing up every day and working hard.
What he did in Oakland was immature.
So,
despite the shipwreck that team is, he was still immature to handle it that way. But it had nothing to do with his ability.
Yeah,
we don't know that
ability,
for sure.
Schmility. Who cares about
ability?
Well, we saw what,
by all accounts,
in the brief thing we saw.
T.O. works like an animal. Like an animal.
Yeah.
So would you rather have him than Moss? Like, if you had to pick one of those two.
Yeah.
So you would rather have the guy who might be a little crazy
up
top.
I wouldn't because I think that T.O.
is crazy.
I think T.O. is more apt to ruin your team than Moss is.
Yes.
Yeah, and in the same breath, I'll agree with what Paul says. I don't want either one, but I did see T.O. fight through a really bad, broken leg in that Super Bowl year where he came back and played
in the
bowl.
He also missed practice with a hamstring injury the exact same day that Randy Moss did. And then 2 days later showed up to
practice
different 25 minutes late
and had a
for absolutely
injury.
No reason. Just felt like being late for practice.
Well, let me reiterate that I don't want either guy. That I think they're both going to kill you. I mean, I don't think Randy Moss is going to kill this team. I'm not that guy that says he's going to bring you out of the locker room.
That's not going to happen.
That's crap. I just think that he's a dog. And we've all felt the same way about the player for the entire career. Once he comes here, we've all
done anything. But he hasn't done
anything.
All he's done is pull up the sixth day of practice with a hamstring injury.
Well,
he must be hurt.
Yeah, I'm not sure that up
so
until the last.
So where's Kyle Brady? What's wrong with Kyle Brady? Why
he's
aren't
a
you
dog,
on Kyle
too.
Brady?
Does he have a history of missing practices?
He has a history of being a first-round bust. I can tell you that much. He hasn't done anything in his career other than be a tackle.
Block. Good blocker. That's why they signed him.
But then I'll draft one of those in the seventh round to take his place. Do you think Jacksonville? Okay, let's see how Jacksonville runs the ball this year. I guarantee you, they'll be top five. You want to go there?
No,
because
I mean,
I think Kyle
Brady.
I think Kyle Brady's a dime a dozen guy. He's a big guy who blocks. So
that may be the case.
Maybe he's old and lazy. Maybe that's why he never reaches potential. Maybe that's why he's not out there.
It's possible.
The only thing I'll say about you seem to be thinking really that this was a change of philosophy or change of approach for all of us because you became a Patriot. I don't really think that's the – I mean, probably in Fred's case that's the case.
Thank you.
But
I can guarantee that.
I wrote – remember last year during the trading deadline there was some rumors that he might be coming? I remember I wrote a huge commentary. This is the greatest thing. I'm dreaming of, you know, Brady throwing bombs to this guy, and I don't know why. It doesn't make any sense. I'm just totally enamored with this guy's ability, and I've overlooked the times where he misses practice and you call him a dog. I don't know.
We've been calling him a dog for 10 straight years.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
He's not a dog.
But I've always liked this guy. I've always liked him. I don't know why.
I think he realizes that, you know, he did a lot of things to get on this team that impressed Bill Belichick. And I you know, starting with the money that he's making.
Overrated.
That part.
He was going to get cut, Fred.
I know, but
he went from zero, three over zero.
He went from zero to whatever he got.
Yeah, but I think that he's come a point in his career where he realizes he likes football and he wants to win.
Well, that's a leap. Where do you see that?
See, I don't think it's he likes football. I think it's he wants to win and he wants to go down as Randy Moss.
I think Belger thinks he's a dog, he's not as good.
But he wants to go down as a Hall of Fame receiver who was the best of his generation, and I think that's why he's here.
That's his biggest motivation. I agree.
And I think
Randy Moss is his biggest motivation.
I think that wanting to win,
the ego thing, I think
that played into his immaturity in the past. But I think this is kind of the perfect setting for him. If he doesn't make it here, he probably won't make it anywhere. You know?
I agree with that.
But he's a dog.
All I strive for is objectivity and consistency. And for 9 straight years, we called him one thing. And now he's here, and suddenly he's out of training camp.
But for 9 straight years, I've been kind of defensive.
I don't know about you.
But you understand, if Pac-Man Jones signed here, he's misunderstood. What's he really doing?
Of course,
he's a nightclub.
Right.
But I wouldn't be one of those guys saying that.
But I'm talking about when you say everyone, that's what's going to happen if they sign Pac-Man.
You need to accept that.
Michael Vick, they're just dogs. Calver, you even say it. You don't like dogs. Paul doesn't like dogs. Who cares?
Just because I don't like dogs doesn't mean I think they should all be killed.
That's what people will say if they get those guys.
All right.
I think they should be killed.
But I'm kidding. That doesn't frustrate you?
Yeah, it does, but there's nothing I can do about it.
I mean, being a fan.
That's what fans do.
That's what fans should do.
So what's your excuse?
What do you mean?
I mean, the media shouldn't do that.
I agree. You're exactly right. I think sports reporting should be like political reporting. I don't think political reporters should be a Democrat or a Republican, and I don't think sports journalists should be fans of the team that they cover. I think they should cover them objectively, and that doesn't always happen.
Like, where's the picture of that radio show posing with Bill Belichick in their hoodie sweatshirts? Is that still there?
Oh, they took it down.
For obvious reasons.
I mean, there's some objectivity going there.
Are you alluding to a show that I happen to be on? I don't think I like that
illusion. Well, you know, Paul, I hear you on that show, and I don't recognize what I'm hearing.
Sucking up to the coach.
All of a sudden. It's
embarrassing.
What exactly would you like me to ask him that I didn't ask him Monday? I didn't hear that. I'm just talking about your regular appearances. You carry yourself with a certain
attitude and a certain edge when I talk to you every time else. We're falling into that whole media criticism discussion. But I also think there's certain people that go the other way just to show that they're objective, and it kills their objectivity because they go the other way.
Well, no. See, the thing is, Freddie, your ilk is that
my elk, as Andy would say.
I can say 9 things right about the Patriots, but that one I jump ship suddenly.
As I like to say,
I'm bored because you're wrong. Well, but
even if you are wrong, why the 9 things that you say that were right ignored?
Right, they don't.
They're not ignored. They're agreed.
No, they're ignored.
They're ignored,
and you're cast aside. See, because exactly. I live on Mike Street on this because I've had it happen to me.
I know.
Where I sit there and I say how great everything is, and all of a sudden one time. And there you go, and that's my reputation. I'm everything but Patriots.com.
Sunshine.com.
That's my reputation.
Are you on the show tonight, by the way?
Which one? No.
Mohegan Sun?
No. You guys do so many shows. Which one are you
doing? I can't keep them all straight.
What?
6:30 tonight, Freddie.
You're going to be on?
Yeah.
Did you bring your suit?
It's upstairs.
Do you buy custom-made suits?
Here we go.
He makes $8 billion a year. Of course he does.
No.
You don't.
I go into Milton's with my gifties from Sports Final
and buy
the knockoffs.
And what a surprise. Where do I get my stuff? Milton's with gifties.
All right.
By the way, thanks for that $50 gift card to Milton's because I called and asked them how much a tie was, and it wouldn't even cover that.
You can get half the store of ties at Milton's for under 50. Are you kidding me?
That's not what they said on the phone.
Really? Trust me.
Are you confusing it with that other place that you can't? They show the picture of the Lamborghini parked out front.
Oh, maybe.
What is that one?
Natalie's.
Maybe that's the one.
Yeah, I threw
it's
those.
Like out. They just laughed at me.
It's
and
like
hung
Mr.
Up the phone.
Mr. Sid's. Remember, I got those from Ted. I had $400. I was like, wow, I can get something good. No, I couldn't.
Mr. Sid's is expensive?
Oh, God.
Well, nothing's expensive for you.
Is here and
you're like Felger. You make more money than God, too.
Fred has his suits custom made, and then he got Tom to do the same thing. Only, at least for Tom, it was for his wedding.
You know what else has fallen off the map? I don't know. You guys talk about it? Like Asante Samuel?
No, I agree 100%.
Like fans
we just said that upstairs last week. I said to these guys,
what's the sense of talking about it, though? I mean,
I don't know. Do you work in the media?
I find it amazing.
What can you
say now that you haven't said already?
I'm not necessarily talking.
Something.
It's done.
Fred, this isn't about talking about it. Why? I understand what Tom's point is. Why do we not go in there every day and ask Bill about Asante Samuel?
Or at once a week, even.
And let him say, I'm only going to talk about the players that are here.
And also,
I don't understand.
Well,
I'm
not saying that, but as far as
but the story's advanced,
covering it as a story, there's no story.
Are these
right
guys,
now.
Calling, are these guys calling Alonzo Shavers every day? They should be.
But right. I disagree. I mean, aside from that, Paul, and you have a point, but I think the story has advanced because we all assumed he was going to come in here and get a preseason game under his belt. Or two, the third one's the most important one, right? He's not playing in this sucker. So even if he plays in number four, what's he really going to get out of it? I think the story.
So what's the story?
The story's to the point now.
What are you writing?
I think.
Is he going to be ready for the regular season?
The point,
even if
right.
he's
bingo. A holdout.
Are you past the point where you can expect that he is going to be Asante Samuel?
A holdout is becoming a legitimate possibility.
Absolutely. We all said that we thought that, at some point in training camp he'll
mid
come
to
back.
Late August, was it? And we're in mid to late August.
Right. Bingo.
I thought he'd be back around.
Wrong.
Now. So did I.
And even if he shows up week one, he's not going to be in shape.
But I mean, what's to add to what we already know? Not much,
not
really.
Necessarily.
The fact that our prediction was wrong.
All I'm saying is that we've reached that point, and now you got to look at it that you're missing your best corner. I don't know. That's a story to me.
It's a story, but what information
so
can
write
you
it.
Add
don't you write for
this?
The Boston Herald?
Occasionally.
Yeah, Fred, here's the point.
Don't you have a forum?
Making, okay? You take Asante Samuel and put him in Dallas or New York, guess what? They're asking questions. They're writing about it. Because that's the story.
And if I'm the coach, I'm like,
Matt Krajicek isn't the story.
I don't know what to tell you. He's not here.
Matt Krajicek isn't the story.
That's a shot across the bow of a certain local paper.
Ours.
Well, we didn't write about Matt Krajicek.
Oh, we didn't have a Krajicek headline.
It was below even us.
Only one paper in this town did.
I was making fun of us saying that what we write really isn't the story. It's the, you know.
There you go, Felgie.
Felgie's got it in front of him.
All right.
Don't worry about it.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is the Danny Bogger day.
Well, we will have a Danny Bogger story
next
week.
It was a Pierre Woods day and, the Kelvin Kite day.
Uh-huh.
Well, those are big.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's get to some more emails here. Webradio@patriots.com. This is from Johnny. He says, since Fred is reading this, I'm sure it sounds gay-ish, but Andy is my favorite. He's the only one of the four that really speaks what is the root cause, not just fluff, speaking of the conversation. Examples are too many to state here, but anytime something worth repeating is said, it comes out of Andy's mouth.
I like
you guys
guy.
Need to have all
Signed
the radio.
Deidre.
Yeah. Well, okay.
My guess
Why
is,
you stopping?
My guess
Keep going.
Is, my
Let's
guess
go.
Is that we say some of that stuff and they just think it's Andy.
That's true.
No, only if it's bad. I get blamed for it on message boards.
Yeah, Felgie, do you know one day I was on with you and on the message board it said Perillo on EEI?
You couldn't even get a plug then.
Johnny also says, Tom, I'm assuming that by now sex has ended in the marriage. I'll be visiting my cousin in Randolph, Mass. Soon. And if you need, she is very pretty.
Jesus.
Though maybe a hair over 230 pounds.
Whoa!
But I'm sure
I need a couple of hairs less than that.
You need a haircut? That's a lot of woman.
The sex ended about 2 years ago.
That's a lot of woman there.
Wow. Okay. Is things still going all right? Is the honeymoon still...
He just said sex ended 2 years ago.
That's this
so
guy.
No.
I'm asking Tom.
No, Tom just said it. You're not listening.
Do you remember when we moved into the new house, Fred?
Yeah.
Well, someday I'll tell you when we christen it.
Oh! Okay.
That's how well it's going.
You didn't carry her over the threshold?
No, I did not.
Okay.
She was waiting there. He turned around and goes, come on, what are you waiting for?
Hold the freaking door. I got a box.
Let's see. Patrick in South Carolina. First, let me start off by giving my thoughts on Scalamoron's website.
Scalamoron!
Eric Gerard sucks. When I went to read about the artist section, and the first sentence was, faces have always fascinated Eric Scalavino. At first, I thought you must have taken too many hits to the head when you were playing your 2A college ball or whatever, but then realized that couldn't be because, after all, you were a kicker. Anyway, if one of our starting
really
linebackers
kick.
Go down early and the recently released Jeremiah Trotter isn't with a team, would the Patriots make a run at him? Or should they sign him anyway just in case to play sort of a Vinny Testaverde type role except on defense? and to spell Bruschi or Vrabel when needed. I know we already have Seau to do something along those lines, but you know Belichick loves his aging linebackers.
I think Trotter's done, and I think he said it. Some of his quotes were basically, you know, it's sad when you realize it's come to an end.
This is the third time, by the way, it's been released.
I tried to ask Bill about this in a roundabout way today, and at some point I stopped listening to the 57-paragraph answer. All I had playing in my mind, Gary, was, how long are we going here?
How long are we going here?
He ended up talking about the fact that they have 3,000 players that they've scouted, and when a guy's a restricted free agent, they really scout him.
Right.
And at some point I went,
obviously there's more of an emphasis placed on the guys that are about to become available.
He was in a good mood when he said the answer.
Oh, yeah, he was smiling at you the whole time.
But holy crap.
The other thing about Trotter that I don't think he might not fit in here is that he's a bit of a crazy man. And he's used to being like a team leader.
No, the man.
And I don't know if he'd come in here and mesh well with the team, kind of being a backup. That's not really a good role for him.
You know, maybe we should bring him in and see if he and Bruce
has
can do
he,
a little
buddy Has he
heads.
Ever played in a 3-4 either?
Not that I know of.
I mean, he obviously has the size to play inside.
Right, but no.
In a 3-4. But I don't think in Washington or Philly he ever played in a 3-4.
No, I think
Jimmy Johnson does so many different things over there in Philly. He probably
they don't really run 3-4, though.
To it. No, that's
I'm
not
absolutely
their base.
Stunned. That you pulled that name out.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to bring up the Cowboys.
I got to be honest with you. Hey, I automatically assumed that he screwed up and he was talking about Jimmy Johnson. I was thinking to myself, he never played for Jimmy Johnson.
No, the defensive coordinator for the Eagles.
I knew who he was talking about.
Super Bowl. This is the Eagles and Patriots played the Super Bowl.
This is kind of like when Eric said that thing last week and I looked at him and I go, wow, that was pretty good. And he got all mad.
Oh, yeah, you might hear more Eric Scalavino references. He works for us.
Okay.
The bald kid.
Or so he says.
Short.
He's here.
Dresses kind of like you, a little metrosexual-ish.
He's got a metro thing going. Kind of.
But
like
he has his own website, and last week we talked about it, and now people have gone to it, and boy, are they tearing him to shreds.
He's a budding artist.
Awesome.
Charges like $7,500 per
are you
portrait.
Yeah, you should
yeah,
have
you
your wife.
Your, portrait done?
Your wife buys art, doesn't she?
Oh, yeah.
So you should have her check it out.
You better keep her away then. I think you could probably do it yourself if you just traced it over a light bright.
You probably got $7,500 in your back pocket. I mean, that's nothing.
Well, that's true. That's pocket change for him.
Let's see.
I could think about was $7,500. Anybody ever buy any? Get them out of here.
Sawyer.
You never saw Beverly Hills Cop?
Oh, yeah, I've seen
it. Is there anything that you've seen?
I've never seen it start to finish.
Oh, God.
Well, then you haven't seen Beverly Hills Cop.
I mean, I've seen portions of it. Oh, well. And probably on TV, so
Thank
they probably
God Tom
out
here.
Anything interesting.
This guy, he's like, you know, I know to be or not to be, so he's Red Hamlet, you know.
Right.
Let's see. Sawyer from Waterloo, Iowa.
That's quite a leap.
Hey, men and Tom, did C.J. Jones look as good as his stats were? Can he make the team as just a returner?
Did he have anything beyond the one return? The long
refresh my memory.
He had the 38-yard return or whatever on the right side.
Yeah.
But did he do anything else?
No. He was on the field for, I think, 4 or 5 plays I counted.
Yes. No.
I would like to see a live video feed for the show. That way we can all see Tom's steroid-induced veins pop out when he's referred to as Nightlight. Hey, Phil. Now, who is Phil? Do we know who Phil is?
Phil.
He says, hey, Phil, very creative, not only going to the same old pig joke, but using prize pig twice in one email.
Oh, this is email on email
crime.
This
is the guy who isn't funny, and he's mad at me because I said he wasn't funny. Listen, buddy, if you were funny, I'd laugh at your jokes. I always laugh at people. You're just not funny.
You remind me of the little boy that was in Bart Simpson's special ed class that said, I'm from Canada. They think I'm slow, eh? And then on to Scalavino.
Tom's right. This guy is just not funny.
Yeah. Then on to Scalavino, he says $7,500. That's like $38 a square inch. The drawings do look pretty good, though. When are you going to post some pictures that you did as an adult?
A little shot there. I like that. I'm on board with that shot.
Last week I was watching 300 that I got from Netflix. Halfway through, I found the movie. I immediately shut off 300 to witness true brilliance. Since then, we canceled Netflix and purchased the movie. Now my wife and I watch the movie
Good
every
rebound,
night.
Yeah. Good rebound.
Thank you, Eric, for not only saving our marriage, but possibly bringing back everything that is pure and true to our society.
The movie.
So
not bad.
Good little bounce back there at the end.
We're all four shots.
I guess if you're going to use a Bart Simpson reference, it's got to be more relevant than that.
Let's see.
And funny.
PJ writes in, I'm giving some thought about last week's game. I was impressed with the defense. They shut down Andy Hart's golden boy, pretty much dominated the Titan offense. I was, however, concerned with the protection of Brady. We talk about different holes the Pats have and what they need to do to be able to go all the way this year. But if Brady goes down, so do the Pats.
Belgi, you want to answer that?
Oh, well, no, they're a playoff team without Brady.
What?
They're a playoff team.
If Brady goes down in week 16.
You don't even have Fred on your side on this one.
You guys know Brady wasn't at practice today, right?
No.
Because Eric Scalzino's covering practice.
Okay, so we could have the immaculate birth, the immaculate C-section today. But if Tom Brady went down.
Not bad, the immaculate C-section.
If he went down today, they'd make the playoffs.
I don't think they would. They'd win the division.
Oh,
that's a leap of faith.
But the playoffs.
You know, I'm not drinking that Kool-Aid.
Yeah. Whether you agree with that statement or not, that's the kind of thing that Mike says that's proof to his other thing. He makes a statement like that, and yet they harp on Randy Moss might not you know be practicing hard. That's the only thing that they talk about.
The way that could happen is because the defense is just so darn dominant.
And Lawrence Maroney's damn good, and the receivers are pretty okay, and the coach is all right.
Yeah, no, yeah.
But you still need a quarterback who can do something.
They got some tough
teams. You have two guys on opposite ends of the spectrum. Well, one guy who's 700 years old, and the other guy who's never played.
At some point, you need your quarterback to make some plays.
If Brady goes down and Castle has to fill in, I think there's still a playoff team.
But 16 games, Matt Castle.
They go 12-4.
Playoffs.
I don't know, man. That's a leap of faith.
10-16.
We're not even so sure around. We're not even sure around here that it's Matt Castle.
I'm sure with Brady because I think they're going to be 12-4 this year with that schedule. You're saying they're 10-6 with Castle. I guess I think Brady's a lot better than you do.
I think Tom Brady's phenomenal. I just think that this team is so well coached.
I agree with that.
And I think you saw
what a guy like Parcells did in New York when Ray Lucas came in and he got him 8-8 that year.
Yeah, they were game away from the playoffs. They lost to Detroit.
Went 6-2. That wasn't the same year.
No, it wasn't. I'm pretty sure. Didn't they try a crazy, stupid reverse play?
In 97, Neil O'Donnell was the quarterback.
Yeah.
Paul's
right.
And they lost the last game when they had Ray Lucas a halfback option. In 99, Vinny got hurt, and they went 8-8 after starting 2-6.
Yeah, I think
I think something like that could happen, but I cover the NFL for a living.
I mean, listen. The Jets are pretty good.
Guys, I mean, and again, I know it's lame to keep harping back to it, but 0-1, Brady wasn't Brady. They just threw sideways, and he had a few.
But are they going to get
all those returns for touchdowns?
Knocked unconscious, recovering balls. I mean, that was a special season. Let's not use that as an example.
And certainly I would suggest to you that Brady didn't have as much to do with that as he's given credit for, and I agree with that. But would you say that he won a couple of games by making plays
Absolutely.
When he had to?
Of course.
Are you convinced that Matt Castle can do that?
I'm not convinced. It's just an opinion. I think that they would win enough games
to make
the playoffs.
I like Matt Castle a lot more than Tom and Andy do, but I'm not convinced that he can make those plays.
Ever since we praised Matt Castle in minicamp, I've been less and less impressed every time
I see him. I love Matt Castle.
But I'd also say that the talent level this year is better than an 0-1.
Oh, it's light years ago. Yeah. The 0-1 team
stunk. You may not have to make those plays.
The 0-1 team was just not that good.
Is Matt Castle better than Trent Dilfer? I don't even know that, though.
Not right now.
No, certainly nothing to go by that makes you say he is.
That's the problem. I think Mike could be absolutely right. I just don't know.
You got to have somebody take the snap
You know what would be interesting, though? Right now, Fred is vehemently denying that the Patriots would make the playoffs if Matt Castle was the quarterback for the whole year.
When Brady goes down.
If Brady ruptures his Achilles tomorrow, we'll have a special PFW progress on Friday to say, don't worry about it. We'll be back. Speaking of back.
You've been replaced.
Eric Scalavino.
Yeah, see, that's the thing,
in.
Though, Fred, is with the not playing at all. I don't think he has that mental clock yet, and I think the only way you're going to get that is by playing.
That's true.
And it's going to take him 6, 7, 8 weeks to get that, and that's, I think, going to cost you the
division. And if the defense can hold on until then,
it would have to be those
kind
of games, those 13-10 games.
Big is no more.
We have an announcement from Eric.
We have a little Wednesday practice breaking news update.
Okay.
First of all,
Brady wasn't
at practice. Felgie told us that.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. The bigger
you want to sweep that unimportant stuff under the rug and get to the Kenny Smith.
Well, I know this is going to really impact.
If it's
Andy's
big and Q in the same
story
day,
that
I'm
Andy's
resigning.
Already written for this week.
Well, this is one story Andy already wrote the first day of camp. It finally happened.
Big Smith.
McKeven Smith?
No.
Kenny
Smith. His nickname is Big.
You really
big
don't
Smith.
Read the paper, do you?
Kenny Big Smith gone. And the other big news.
The one that Andy wrote this transaction on the first day of practice.
Oh, Tom Malone.
Remember, I had to remove that from the paper.
He actually wrote it in the paper, and we had to take it out.
Last minute edit, because Bill didn't agree with me
to
make the move.
We're down to one kicker and one punter. That's it.
Yep, the punting competition is over. Danny Bogger is the man. By the way.
How do you know they're not bringing in someone today?
Well, I mean, for now, let's just
say
the punting competition is
over.
Talk to
so you weren't listening at all upstairs?
I was at practice. I was actually doing work. Unlike
the rest
of
the time.
They
give you like an hour and a half.
That's disappointing.
But let's just recap. What's the story of the day?
Story of the day, Tom Brady wasn't
there. Okay, thank you. Now, Big Smith and Bog and Bologna, it just doesn't matter.
It's big news for this show with these clowns, Felger.
Mike, we come get on to a granular level.
That clown just got here.
You know, we're not just, we're
which
not
clowns are you talking about?
I also like how he came in and just took Felger's microphone.
Right. Felger gave me his microphone. What's the matter with you? What was I saying? Oh, yeah.
Nothing important.
The other big news of the day.
big news.
Earl Duke Bogger, father of Danny Bogger, big fan of the PFW blog.
Ah.
Spoke to him earlier today. Loves it.
Okay. Are we doing a feature on Danny Bogger?
We're going to have to clean that thing
up. I'm doing a story on Bogger this week. I happen to be, and, you know, talked to Bogger today. I said, can I talk to your dad? Gave me
yeah, I wrote my Pulse story in 8 minutes, and he's calling Bogger's family.
and you can tell.
Punting is in the family.
You can do with that whatever you will.
Okay.
So anyway, little last-minute breaking news there, right before the show ends.
What, you talking to Bogger's father?
No, I'm talking about Big Smith.
So where was Brady? What's the speculation?
Brady, again, Brady is the big news.
Let's
here.
Get back to
how
Brady.
How much practice did they allow you to see?
All of stretching.
Oh, wow.
He really is a company man.
All of stretching. Not a moment less.
Okay.
Hey, can we get back to this? What was the scuttlebutt? Where are people saying
well,
maybe
it's
the,
obvious
is
what
the birth coming?
I mean,
or,
that,
you know.
That has to be the scuttlebutt. That's
well, he also
you didn't
got
make any calls to the
up
airlines
on Friday, so I don't
know. But he was yeah, there,
was
there the last couple of days.
I know, but
he
maybe
practiced Monday and
kind of catching up with him.
I don't know.
So we're supposed to jump to the conclusion that he's hurt.
So let's
no,
get
he
out.
Can't physically get on the field.
I want to get
not
back
that
to
he could be having a baby that's 10 months overdue.
If you're going to speculate, if you're going to speculate, I would say you speculate.
Well, overdue
it's the baby.
Is
now,
only
more
because of a report. We have no idea if it's overdue.
Where it? Yeah, but where is she? Felgi, do you have
LA.
The
she has been pregnant for quite a while.
Supposedly on the West Coast.
She's in
she
L.A.
She was seen
okay
in L.A.
Well,
on Sunday.
It takes 9 months, Tom.
It actually takes 10.
Actually,
it actually takes 10, Fred.
Really?
It's one of the
10
biggest misconceptions in the world.
Yes, that's
that your due
correct
date is 40 weeks.
Yes, that is correct. 40 weeks is full term.
You were a misconception.
Oh! Should have been a wall shot, as I've said on this show.
Again, you just continue to go over that line. You're dropping F-bombs 1 week, and then you're
due to some sexual content,
oh,
parental discretion is advised.
What's that, Mike?
Three is worse than two.
Three is worse than two.
And I don't know.
I'm told
know,
that.
I got that all backwards. It's like, that's a misconception. Three is no bargain. I'd say a little bit worse.
Is your daughter three?
Yeah. Yeah. And she can be a real.
So the nannies are really having
I
hard
was going
to
say, and you're really there to witness
it. You get reports.
I feel bad for my wife and nanny. It's true.
Do they actually
you
write
got,
a
like,
log?
He gets an email once going a day. Up and down.
Did they write a log out for you so you can chronicle the day when you get home? Emma was really tired.
I do more heavy lifting than the wood.
Hey,
the wood works too. It's all about the nannies.
Nanny. How many nannies do you have?
Singular, one, and then a whole team of Northeastern babysitters. Like a whole.
So those don't count.
No, well, that's nighttime.
As in, like, Northeastern University?
Yeah. Why Northeastern? Do they have like a...
You're going down my road, huh?
Because I live in the city?
So his wife's got a personal trainer, and he's got a nanny.
Yeah, but you live in Back Bay, right?
Yeah.
What about Emerson?
They don't cross paths.
Don't love to Emerson College?
I don't know. We started with we've got one Northeastern babysitter, and she knew a gal who knew a gal who knew a gal, and now it's like half the soccer team.
Okay.
It's pretty solid, actually.
Can you give me those gals' numbers? Because if I can get those gals, maybe I'll have a baby.
Oh, man.
Oh, the inappropriate nature of the show just continues to grow.
PJ also says, I love the idea of PFW t-shirts and all of the gang on them. The only problem is that Andy's head would only fit on a 2XL shirt. Speaking of Andy, I can't believe the argument he was trying to make last week. If you look at the first two games...
Wait. Can
what?
Felgi, better chance that the Patriots start the year 0-2 or 2-0.
There is no in-between.
There is no in-between. You have to pick A or B. 0-2, 2-0.
B.
2-0.
That's what I
said. No. I'm sorry. I thought B was 0-2.
Oh, okay.
Thank it's you. More likely they go 0-2 than 2-0.
Thank you.
Why is that?
Well, especially since your best corner's not here and not going to be looking good week one. I don't care what happens between now and then.
Randy Monster Dog hasn't played.
And the fact that
the Jets don't have any.
Yeah, Thomas Jones is injured.
Well, right.
He's going to play.
Why do you get mad?
Yeah, you do get mad.
It's not realistic.
What do you mean it's not realistic?
It is realistic.
Look,
they can go 0-2. It can happen. I know your little world wouldn't allow it to happen, but it can happen.
But you have to look.
They're playing two playoff teams from a year ago, one of which has spent the entire year trying to figure out how they can kill them.
Who's favored to win the first game?
I have no idea. I'm not a gambler.
In your mind, I'm asking.
Patriots.
Yeah, but to me, then you have to say 2-0.
Six and a half.
Why do I have to say 2-0?
Because if you think that they're going to win the first game, you have to say 2-0.
Eric Mangini has proven he can beat this team.
But who's better?
The Patriots.
Then I think you had to say 2-0.
I don't think I have to.
If 1-1 was an option, I would definitely say 1-1.
What's the Patriots' record against winning teams the last couple of years?
Well, that doesn't matter either. These two are winning teams.
They were 2-1 against those Jets last year.
Let's just say that the Patriots have a 55% chance of losing to the Chargers. What percent chance do they have of winning or beating the Jets?
60.
Therefore, I have 70. To say 2-0.
2-0.
I don't necessarily say they're going 2-0, but if I have to pick one.
Right. You have to pick one or the other.
It's at
Is
New
it
York.
Easier to win right. or lose?
I'm just going to. You want to go to percentages? That Make one, it simple. That, is it easier to lose or to win?
That was limited
based
hey,
on
Gary,
the Patriots winning percentage.
Do you have
the
old Brian
Morey
clip?
It's easier to win.
Didn't Brian have like a whole existentialism thing like that? It's a lot easier to lose than it is to win.
That one got
the bottom
me.
Line.
Because if there was some kind of.
I don't know.
Anyway.
Gave him his own show.
All right. So PJ says that Andy, you're turning into Ron Borges.
Andy is turning into Ron Borges. That's a little too negative for me.
And God bless you.
I'll be glad to hand that mantle over to you because I used to be the Borges.
You can't have a conversation that Patriots talk with all due respect to the people I love at EEI sucks because there's no Ron Borges.
the people I love at EEI may be calling soon.
There's no conversation. It's just one big nut scrub.
I just get beaten
Everyone's
down.
On the same side.
I just get beaten down every time I'm on. What do you want me to do?
I've never heard of nut scrub before.
It's one. They've all grabbed a hold of the same brush and are scrubbing the same giant nut.
Well, what is bad to say other than, if Randy Moss is a dog and Asante Samuel is the
If the Randy Moss
the
equivalent.
He's right about the Samuel stuff.
If the Randy Moss equivalent was on the Red Sox, it'd still be going on. And there'd be plenty of commentators on that station who would be bashing him and being negative and drumming it up.
Or if they had a player who didn't want to play because of a contract situation. You're telling me they wouldn't be talking about that?
The Red Sox discussion on that station is phenomenal because there's so much. Because
you can criticize every little move.
No one
you should be able to look at it and say, whatever the move, they cut Josh Miller. If you think it's a bad move, say it's a bad move.
They did talk a lot about Samuel. It's just that at this point, the only thing that's changed is the date. I mean,
find more out. If that's true, then that's a problem. If they haven't even come close to anything, then that's a problem.
I think what Mike is telling you, with the Red Sox, you can sit there and say, they went and signed J.D. Drew, and no one says they've had a lot of success in signing these guys in the past. They've said, this doesn't seem like a very good move to me, and then ultimately it's turned out not to be a good move.
Because
with the Patriots, they sign a guy, and if you don't think it's a good move, and if you say it, you're Borges.
But you have to look closer, and you're right, but look at it. I mean, when you criticize the Red Sox on EEI, you're criticizing who? Terry Francona?
Theo Epstein.
They all get it. They all get it.
Barely comes on the stage.
Baloney.
Anymore.
But they all get
Ordway's
it.
But he's the guy who gets criticized.
I know, but Ordway's never going to criticize the Patriots because he's criticizing Belichick.
Right.
And he has to.
That's Mike's point.
It is true.
How did you put it? It's one big what?
Nut scrub. One big giant collective nut scrub.
I'm going to come back to say, do you really think it's Belichick's fault that Samuel's not there?
Well, Bill makes the calls.
This stuff happens on every team throughout the league.
I'm not blaming it.
It's not like
the Samuel thing. I'm not blaming anyone. I'm not blaming anyone for any of these things. All I'm saying is the story with Samuel is that now, I think, starting now, he's not going to be here looking good week one of the regular season. I think we've passed that point.
Okay.
I think you run that real risk. And everyone's like,
people say that they don't care that Samuel's not there because they're going to win without him. That's the prevailing attitude.
Well, I think
on that radio
station. Do you agree
station.
With that?
We'll I don't out. Think we'll they're just going to seamlessly overcome
You don't think they're
going
to win without him?
We'll find
do
out
I think
Friday.
They'll win more games than they lose? Yes. Do I think they'll win as many as they would with him? No.
How many do you think they're going to win this year?
12.
Okay, Fred, that's pretty
Fred,
good.
That
Fred,
might not be good enough
you.
To get a bye, just like last
let
year. And if that's
you.
The case, you don't go to the bowl again,
bingo.
Just like last year.
Bingo.
Steve Smith just destroys Ellis Hobbs this week. Destroys him. Two touchdowns, makes him look stupid. Are you still singing that same tune?
No, it's preseason.
He did score 17 points in the first half last week. That's his mantra.
And we did have 17 foul balls.
TG in New Jersey, I don't get it. Why is B-Lo on the Mohegan Sun Show and none of you
are? Yeah, he is.
We get enough of him with Patriots today as it is.
Well said, TJ.
screw the so-called old media. You guys yelling at each other over the internet is still better than any sports show
on
TV.
Let me tell you the story I told off the air.
Okay.
Fred, you mind if I interrupt?
No, go ahead.
So
he's all offended.
Is this a story as to why Tom and I aren't on that show?
Well, yeah. Well,
that's what we care about.
One of the producers, did someone from FSN call you, Andy?
No.
Okay.
I told you that Kevin Miller
basically,
asked me about it.
Someone had said yes. I'd heard someone say about, we're going to try and get Andy Hart on. Like,
I like this.
Do you think we can get him on? Like, is he available?
We got to talk to
first
the
of
publicist.
All,
so Felgi said, let's put the brakes
first
on
of all, First of all, I wasn't available for your little phone interview last week, and you had to come crawling back an hour later.
Felgi said,
this story is actually funny.
Let them go.
This is going to be a good show. This is
going
to be a good story.
Are you going for veal parms after?
Okay, go ahead.
By the way, I just want to – can I put in a plug? I will be on Mohegan Sun's voice tonight.
Tell the story.
6:30 tonight, TJ.
So your name came up, and I said you can't have one without the other. You got to get Franz in. That's the deal. You've got to get
– So you screwed me.
The value
– So you're the bottom line.
No.
You screwed him.
And
Tom's ready to clear up too.
You screwed them.
He said who?
The value is the tag team.
You screwed them.
And no, said, because the no. value gets lost when we're a tag team.
No.
ESPN Radio cuts the pay in half.
FSN's not ESPN Radio.
Oh, okay.
They can afford a few extra, you know.
But basically, parcels. They were going to have you on until he said no.
I didn't.
He screwed you.
I didn't say no.
I went to bat for you, my friend. He screwed
that
you.
That sounds
know,
like a big screw job.
The next like
time,
Felger.
Listen, the next time you want to call me fat, old, and bald, you'll remember this. I went to bat for you, and he screwed you.
I appreciate you sticking up for me, Felger.
I said he'd be
we gotta
great.
We got to stick together.
But if you want entertainment, if you want value, you need the tag team.
See, he thinks that
they get nothing out of B-Lo.
You don't get entertainment
B-Lo's
or information.
Fine.
I'm just kidding.
What,
I'm just kidding,
serious?
Brian.
Take a shot
I'm
at
just
B-Lo?
Kidding.
You got all serious there.
I like
the best friend we were going to start making
no,
fun of.
No, I like B-Lo.
We all like B-Lo, but he's a little sensitive, so I had to apologize for that.
Listen, I like B-Lo, but on TV talking football, he can't hold our jock. Period.
And
I don't
second,
care if he hears that, I'll say it to his face.
But I still don't understand, true. Instead of bringing B-Lo in, why wasn't it just, well, we'll call both of them then? Where did that go south? Now we're both just out?
So you thought I was making it up.
Both of them are
they had the phone. They were like this. Did you know Andy Hart's phone number that he mentioned me?
You literally chopped me off
at the
knees.
Have time to do what I need him to do.
Screw
this
that.
Year.
No
they
one reads that
they
paper.
So many games.
Hey!
We have more people than the Herald.
We have more people
that
listen to your station.
And what's that saying?
Now that's the more accurate one. We have more circulation than you have.
Beyond Mark the Angry Emailer. Who the hell listens?
And what is that saying? Of course, you're right.
Okay.
TJ
wait a minute,
though.
So literally,
I gotta
you took
get to,
money out of my pocket.
I
got
to get to the bottom of this tonight. I'll see if I can do something.
I'm trying to get
Paul. I make no promises.
Paul will throw me under the bus instead.
Oh, hey, cut Tom loose.
Well, I already got hosed in this deal.
You did get hosed because you were this close.
And B-Lo's there to pick up the sloppy.
I'm hearing a lot of new guys, too. You're all done.
TJ wants to know, can Eric tackle as well
Felger.
As Gaskowski?
Can you?
As a kicker.
How would he know? He's never been on a field.
Baloney. I made six. This is I'm
now
being, serious. Being serious.
I'm boring.
Being serious. Senior year of high school, I made
boring.
Six. And that's not a joke.
Boring.
So you were a high school kicker.
Yeah, of course.
Boring.
That was the highlight of your career.
Where?
Yeah.
What school?
St. Paul's.
So is this where I should tell him that beyond playing running back and linebacker in high school, I kicked off. And was the high school kicker.
Well, Eric, you do have to know that we've had a lot of reaction to Scalavino.com.
None of it good.
I'm not sure you want to hear it.
I couldn't care less.
It's all a joke. If you'd shut up, I'd tell you.
He's not mad either.
Actually, one person did say that he was thinking of contacting.
So what do you provide on that website? Like what?
I'm
an artist.
Portrait.
Oh, I see. So we get. I see.
It has nothing to do
no,
with
wait a
football.
Second. Hold on. Can we get
Felger,
back
are you online? Can you go to it? Are you online? No, this
God,
freaking computer
funny.
Won't let me online.
Can we get back to Tom Brady not being at practice for a second?
Thank you.
You said Felger alerted you guys to that? I think we missed the breaking news. You were at practice?
No, but I have sources.
Oh, okay.
Word travels fast.
That would have been the breaking news of the day.
Word travels
fast. Patriots practice.
text
oh,
messages.
My God, that is funny!
Well, I want to end the show with a really in-depth review of your website, if you don't mind.
It's your show, Fred.
Joe writes in, and he says, thanks for introducing the world to Scalavino.com. Here is my review of all things Scalavino, the man. Eric Scalavino first became known to Patriots fans through writing for Patriots Football Weekly.
Boring.
His articles were written with such passion and style that fans were left asking one simple question at the end of every article. Why does this man spell his name with a K? The talent displayed in his writings prompted his inclusion on the internet radio show, PFW in Progress, where Eric has cemented his reputation as the king of all media. By combining Fred Kirsch's football knowledge with Paul Perilla's rage, Eric quickly won over PFW fans. The disdain Andy reserves for the Irish and Tom reserves for people who say anything negative about him, Eric is able to spread equally across all of Patriots Nation, ensuring that no fan is left behind. With every word, Eric leaves fans begging to hear more, generally by not speaking directly into the microphone. The movie. Not since The Life Aquatic has true genius been captured on film as it was in Drawn. The 2007 independent film is destined to develop a huge cult following similar to films like Army of Darkness and Office Space. The movie stars Scalavino as himself,
in the role he was born to play. Although Scalavino played himself like no other could, his performance was overshadowed by one of his own artistic creations, Max the Dog. It is impossible to not be moved by the gentleness captured in Max's the dog's eyes, in the hardship in his face. One fan commented that even Paul Perillo couldn't hate that dog. It is hard to believe that something that started with a $40 gift bought off an infomercial could change the lives of so many. Scalavino himself truly said it best when he said that if it can be done, I can do it. The artist.
Sure, I did say it.
There is no denying that Scalavino is truly a gifted artist. His ability to draw faces with the correct number of eyes, ears, and noses, and to place them in the correct position separates him from lesser artists, such as Picasso, who struggle with these kinds of details. His inclusion in the number 6 in all of his works has puzzled art enthusiasts for years. However, fans of Boston University football who studied the sidelines know the significance.
What is this? What? Why 6?
Why 6?
That's always been my favorite number.
But just for no reason?
Oh, it's always been a number that has brought me luck throughout my life. Starting with
it was his fictional number on his fictional football team.
Scalavino also uses
our... He went to BU too, you know,
Hi-Ho. You've seen the pictures, Hi-Ho.
Oh, I haven't.
I showed you a picture.
I'll need to see that again.
I will show you again then. There's photographic evidence.
Scalavino also uses artistic abilities to help others. Just ask anyone who attended the Mary Mother of Mankind Church's 2006 Snowflake Bazaar.
This guy read the whole
Scalavino is a true philanthropist. He stands squarely at the front line for the Ron Burton Award. The legend. We're ending up here. The details of Scalavino's football career have remained a mystery to PFW fans. The indisputable facts are that Eric both kicked and punted at the Division I AA level.
So how long are we here?
Sort of. It is widely believed that Eric was headed for a very promising NFL career before suffering a devastating back injury in a fight with a cheerleader who said, give me a C instead of a K. There are rumors that there was no back injury and that Eric simply became disenfranchised with a sport that did not give kickers and punters the respect he felt they deserved. It is hard to argue. I mean, why else would they measure punts from the line of scrimmage instead of where the ball is hit? Sadly, BU's football program never recovered from the loss of Scalavino and eventually folded.
Yep.
So there it is. Scalavino, as seen through the eyes of one fan. Welcome to the team, Eric.
Who's the fan?
That's
by the way?
Joe from Winnipeg.
Somebody
Canada.
With way too much time.
All right.
Bravo, though. I got to applaud the effort.
That's a great ending to this week's show. We'll see you next week. Mike, Patriots Friday starts this Friday.
That's right.
All right.
See you at practice,
Big
Phil.
Time. We'll see you next week.
See you at practice.
Week.